Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will
I will rise when he Today is October 25th, 2022, and I want to share with you a dream that I had 2 days ago on October 23rd of 2022. So this is the dream. So I was sitting at a table in a hallway just outside a door. Now the door was partially opened. I could not see in the room, but I could hear what was being said. And there was a man speaking, and he said this. He said, "Our plans to take down America are not working. We must pray." Then this room full of people began chanting something in unison, and it was in Arabic. That's when I realized in my dream that the people that were gathering in this room were Muslims. So as they were chanting, and I could hear the chanting through the crack in the door, I began to pray in tongues out loud to counteract their chants. Then a college-aged Muslim young man approached my table and he sat down. And he told me that he needed money to go to college and asked me if I would buy this product he was selling. And he showed me a sample and he pulled out this little card, and on the card was like this pasty substance, almost like the consistency of peanut butter. And it was like a sample that you were supposed to, like, I guess, eat. And I said to this young man, I said, "No, I'm not going to buy your product." I said, "I'm a Christian." And when I said that, then I very quickly explained to him the gospel message. And when I did that, he was very offended and became indignant because I gave him the gospel, and second, because I refused to buy his product. And then he said this to me. He said, "Can you speak all the languages that I can?" And he began to name the languages. And it was almost as if like he was showing himself superior or better than I was because he could speak all of these languages. And I responded to him. I said, "No, I can speak English and tongues." And he kind of just looked at me. And at that point in the dream, I began singing in tongues, and this man covered his ears like this. He just covered his ears with his hands because he didn't want to hear. And so there was, in this dream, there was also another Middle Eastern man that was sitting next to him. He was an older man. And what I noticed about him is that his one front tooth was like broken off, like it was broken in half. So this man with the broken tooth pulled the young man's hands away from his ears, and then I sang in tongues directly into the ear of this young man. Now, as I was singing in tongues, I was amazed because the song was so beautiful and the melody was just astounding. And so when I finished singing this song, it's like I jerked awake, and that was the end of the dream. So the next day, I went into prayer and I was asking the Lord about this dream. And this is what the Lord revealed to me regarding this dream. He said, "My child, I have given you this dream to show you that the prayers of my remnant church are stopping their plans to take America down and take America over. But I say this to my praying remnant. Now is the time to pray like you have never prayed before. Pray in your prayer language for your nation. This is the only way to out-strategize them, outmaneuver them, and outright win over their evil plans and their evil ways." The Lord said, "The man behind the door that you heard speaking was Obama. The people gathered in the room were high up people in the Islamic community, people in government positions who serve the God of Islam, and clerics." And he said, "Because all of their plans are failing, Obama has now turned to the God of Islam to help him. This God has no power over me, says the Lord, and will not have victory because I defeated him at the cross." He said, "My children, I call upon you to enforce my victory over him using my name and my blood." The Lord said, "Use my name, my children. Make decrees and declarations in my name, and I will see that what you decree and declare for your nation, I will grant." I want to read that again. He said, "Make decrees in my name, and I will see that what you decree and declare for your nation, I will grant." That's very powerful. Then he said, "I am giving my servant Patricia declarations for you to make for your nation using my name." So these are the declarations that he gave to me. I'm going to share them with you. I will also include these declarations in the description part of the video so that you can use them. So these spoken declarations using the authority of his name are utilizing the keys of his kingdom. So just know that. So this is what we need to be saying. "In the name of Yahushua, Jesus, and by the power of his blood, I declare," and I'm going to list these, there are seven of them, "I declare the plans of the enemy to take over and take down the USA will fail at every level. All the wicked will be exposed and judged. Number three, the wealth of the wicked will be given to the remnant. Number four, the serpent's head will be chopped off in the USA, and all the secret tunnels he has been operating in will be destroyed. Number five, the righteous will rise to positions of authority in the judicial, legislative, and executive branches of the USA. Number six, the USA will prosper and be a great nation who serves the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name is Father Yah." Hallelujah. Number seven, the United States of America will arise and shine and be God's light to the nations. So please make these declarations using the name and power of the blood of Yahushua, Jesus. Also pray in tongues for our nations, for our nation. And listen, anyone even that's in another country, you can do the same thing, but put your country in place of the United States. So we are at a critical time where our prayers and declarations are tipping the scales in our favor. We have the favor of Father Yah. We have the power of the name of Yahushua, Jesus. We have the power of his blood. Hallelujah. We have the victory.
Greetings. In the precious, lovely, holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. Today's presentation will be somewhat different in its formats. My daughter Danielle suffered another relapse regarding her condition of being very sensitive to light, to the degree that she literally cannot look into a computer screen without suffering some major consequences, including migraine headaches. So please join with me in praying for a miracle. And those of you that follow our ministry each week know that Danielle plays a vital role. Not only does her angelic voice bring great joy and comfort at the end of each presentation, but she brings such artistic production and contents. For example, last week she wrote, "China and Russia are building super EMP bombs for blackout warfare, and according to a new Department of Defense strategy report, the DOD considers both Russia and China to be the most significant threat to the U.S. If you've ever questioned whether or not the United States is in Bible prophecy, I urge you to watch this teaching. In it, Dr. Ruisi makes a compelling argument that cannot be ignored as to the identity of America as it relates to Bible prophecy. Well, apparently, There were many that took her advice. As a matter of fact, over 130,000 plus as I record today's message. And that for us is a breakthrough. And this breakthrough, to my heart, represents something very substantial in terms of God's communicating the fact that we are over the target. As a matter of fact, it gives me every reason to believe that our position that United States and New York City is the mystery Babylon and the great city brings me to an almost absolute conclusion. There is no other entity that can be considered regarding the prophetic truth of future Babylon than that of the United States of America. Would you please join with me for a moment in prayer? Heavenly Father, I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, be merciful and use this vessel of clay to communicate once again the things that are vitally important to understand in these last days. You know, Lord, what your people are living through. These are violent times, turbulent times, and they are wearing and they are stressing out the very people that you love. And so, Lord, I pray that in the context of this prophetic message, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of instruction and enlightenment might be communicated to those who take the time to hear what I believe you are saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, I pray, along with your people, amen and amen. What is taking place today in the past 2 years or so as a result of COVID? If ever there was a doubt that the United States is in fact the daughter of Babylon or mystery Babylon, there can be no more, from my point of view, as I look at it prophetically, no other consideration. We are the most militarily powerful nation ever to emerge in human history. And the statistics will bear that out. No other nation can compare to the military might of the United States, our ability to wage war in all different parts of the world simultaneously is second to none. The most economically prosperous, the most geopolitically consistent with the future prophecies of Babylon, the most hideous, immoral, bloodthirsty, power-crazed nation arguably, the most Luciferian governed nation. Now, up until 2 years ago, it was very difficult to imagine this once great nation would fall under the category of a bloodthirsty, power-crazed, hideous, immoral nation. But today, as a result of the information that continues to emerge regarding the deep state, if you will, and the things that they have, the tentacles that have reached around the world, impacting other nations, it is ugly, to say the least. Today, we understand that the various different agencies that we once believed were there to protect us, to keep us safe, to help us in world affairs, we are discovering they were doing everything the opposite. The three-letter agencies, you know them all, they were and are tools of global individuals and global interests and tools that are being used to accomplish the enemy's ultimate goal of a one world government. And sadly, we have been to a degree complicit on our end because these developments have taken place under our watch. And so it is not difficult for me personally, knowing the things that I know, most of which cannot even be spoken of on this platform, it is not difficult for me to believe that when God speaks regarding his outpouring wrath against this mystery Babylon, that he is speaking to our nation in particular. It does not surprise me that Isaiah 47 and verse 5 states the following, "Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms." And I believe that to be an absolute reference to New York City. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 through 8, we read, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people." Do you know that Jerusalem has approximately 900 plus thousand citizens? And New York City has over 1 million Israelis or Jewish citizens in it. So that very word, come out from her, my people, makes absolute sense for the United States and the great city in particular. No other nation, no other city can fall in that characterization. Come out from among her, my people, the Jewish people. "That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen," or the queen city, if you will, "and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." Verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Again, many have written about Babylon, but no one has been able to write the similarities of Babylon in the context of COVID. Revelation chapter 18, verse 23 reads the following, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." That was a point that I referenced last week, and it is worthy to note once again. The word sorceries there is in the Greek pharmakeia. And according to Strong's Concordance, it states the following as to this word pharmakeia. Number one, the use of drugs, potions, and enchantments. That in itself, case closed. Number two, poisoning or pharmacy. Number three, by extension, the occult, witchcraft, as giving control to demons in exchange for monetary, though treacherous, benefit. And number four, check this out, by suggestion or proposition, the remedy, the cure. And so all those points are raised in that word, sorceries or pharmakeia, in the Strong's Greek Concordance. We presented several months ago a series on the 10 kings, the oligarchs. Where did they find their origin? Where did these 10 kings, if you will, these oligarchs, find their place of emergence? And is it not that these corporations and CEOs found their origin or their birth in and through the nation of the United States? The engineering of economic collapse, the dismantling of the world flow of energy, that is what these oligarchs, these, if you will, 10 kings, are all about. The engineered takedown of food supply. How evil is that? That there would be those who orchestrate circumstances so that people would be without energy and thus suffering all the consequences, including transportation, including hospitalization, including, of course, food and so forth. How evil is that, that there are those today that are anguishing over the inevitable prospects of what is going to take place this coming winter in Europe, for example? From my prophetic point of view, this is a slam dunk with regard to the proposition that Babylon and these 10 oligarchs, if you will, are here mentioned. Listen to this article that was recently recorded under the heading, quote, "France and Germany threaten Biden after Putin warns." He states, "No one can sit out the coming storm," unquote. And then it goes on to say in this article, "An informative new Security Council, SC, report circulating in the Kremlin today, first noting President Putin's factually assessing during his milestone Veliday speech." He quoted, "No one can sit out the coming storm," unquote. Says during his observation that the world stands at the precipice of a tumultuous decade that will bring the most danger and unpredictability in several generations as Western domination, that domination or supremacy, and that inevitably draws to a close. He also warned, "We are standing on a historic frontier. Ahead is probably the most dangerous, unpredictable, and at the same time important decade since the end of World War II. Again, he states that the day of our hegemony, which means American dominance, is coming to a climatic end. And that is what the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 speaks of. It speaks of the end of the dominance of Babylon. How is it that such a thing could take place if indeed this United States of America is here referenced as the mystery Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, or the queen city? Revelation chapter 17 tells us about these 10 kings that head up this, if you will, entity that pools their resources, that ultimately will lend their strength and their resources to the Antichrist itself. Listen to what Revelation 17, beginning in verse 16, says, and how that this can speak to us of the manner by which God shall bring an end to America's dominance. Revelation 17, verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Who is going to do this? It's these 10 horns, or these 10 kings. And verse 17 says, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. In verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And so we see the great city specifically referenced, and that God has placed it in the hearts of these 10 kings to destroy this great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Verse 5 of Revelation 17 again tells us who this entity is that is to be destroyed by the 10 kings. It says, verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. How or by who shall this hegemony take place of destruction of America? The 10 kings, the oligarchs. How, might you say, will they destroy the whore? We know that God places it in their hearts to do so. When, we might ask also. And that answer requires that we speculate to some degree, that conjecture is necessary when weighing out the when. However, the scripture is not silent on this matter of the when and how. Let me say, in terms of the how, I believe that Jeremiah 50 and 51 gives us three specific items to consider as to the how that the 10 kings shall burn with fire the whore, which is culminated in its authority or its governance in the great city. The first, we might consider civil war. Jeremiah 50 and verse 30 tells us, therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Her young men, that is Babylon, shall fall in the streets through her men of war. This is not a war that is ensuing outside the borders of Babylon, but rather inside the borders of Babylon. Interestingly enough, just this very day, I heard from a credible source that chatter is underway with regard to troop formations moving within the United States. We know there's a lot of troop movement going on that is reaching outside the borders of the United States. Word has it, however, that there is the anticipation of potential civil war, and that it may very well be that these troops within our nation, the United States, are being positioned in preparation for what may be a reaction to an arrest of our former president, the 45th president, Donald Trump. So civil war may very well ensue that will accomplish in part the judgment of the whore. And we know that the divisiveness of our media is in your face today. There is such a lying spirit that comes forth from these mainstream media sources that cannot be denied. It's almost laughable. And interestingly enough, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 36 speaks specifically of the liars. It says, a sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. How is it that God would, in speaking of this mystery Babylon, speak specifically of this characteristic of this nation being that of liars? Secondly, how is it that this domination of this once great nation worldwide would cease? It may very well be as a result of a missile attack. In Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 9 we read, "For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain." We are talking here about smart missiles, and we need not emphasize that today by some dramatic footage, which we have done in the past. It is sufficient to simply say there are missiles. There are powerful, powerful missiles that are being pointed at our nation even as I speak. And many of you have been hearing some serious chatter and some saber rattling, if you will, regarding missiles that are pointed at the USA. And so it may be in part through civil war. It may be in part through a missile attack. Or number three, a tsunami. Revelation 18 and verse 19, in speaking of Babylon and the destruction taking place in Babylon, we read there, verse 19, "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." Now listen to the 21st verse. "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." And so it may be as a result of a tsunami. When shall this take place? Well, the scripture tells us something about this. We know, according to these passages, that these merchant ships, which speak of world trade, are in existence at the time that God says this angel is appointed to come down and to cast a great stone like a millstone into the sea. And that those merchant ships, those that deal with world commerce, they're in existence. They're observing the plagues, if you will, the calamity that has ensued against this city, this great city of Babylon. And so we understand, according to Noah, for example, that they were eating, drinking, and giving in marriage, and then sudden destruction. Business as usual. We see here in Revelation that both the Antichrist and the 10 kings together remain in power and incorporate their might to destroy, to burn, and to flood, if you will, this great city and the surrounding states, if you will. It says in verse 9 of Revelation 18, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." And there we just read a moment ago how that God is placing it in the hearts of these 10 kings to burn her with fire. In verse 10, Revelation 18, "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon. This is futuristic. This is in the book of Revelation. This was given to the Apostle John regarding future events. This is something that has never taken place in world history. Verse 10 again, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon. And by the way, for fear of her torment, could there possibly be nuclear and concern about nuclear fallout? Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Again, as it was in the days of Noah. This destruction of Babylon takes place well before the ten kings and the Antichrist and the false prophet meet their final end in being cast into the lake of fire when the Lord Jesus returns back to the earth along with the saints, which will be you and me. And so, in closing, you might say to me, brother, you are just propagating gloom and doom. The fact of the matter is, that's exactly what I am doing. And I am doing that because God said in the last days, we were to be sounding the alarm, blowing the trumpet in Zion. The Lord told us in the book of Joel, for example, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. And by the way, with regard to the cataclysmic events that will ensue against the mystery Babylon, we read that the impact shall be worldwide. The whole world shall shake at the very calamity of this great city. Jeremiah 50 and verse 46 states the following, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry or the shout is heard among the nations. And so again, we see that the whole earth is moved by the calamity that takes place when Babylon is taken. So in closing here, we know the how, and we know, at least in general, the when. And now, with regard to the point that I just alluded to, gloom and doom. It is gloom and doom if you do not know Jesus, if you do not have a personal relationship with him. We have been sounding the alarm now for 2+ years. We have been speaking on this very subject of the outpouring of God's wrath. But for some unknown reason, and I say that facetiously, I know the reason, God broke the barriers in last week's message when we talked about the possibility that an EMP might trigger World War III, and that EMP might place our nation, the United States of America, literally in darkness. We've been sharing these things now for over 2 years, and I believe God took last week's message and broke all records because the time is at hand. It is most certainly not the result of any eloquence on the part of my speaking skills. It was and is the Holy Spirit warning hearts, we are at the end. We are not near the end. We are at the end. This is the time the prophets told us about. The apostles spoke to us about. The Lord Jesus himself told us about. fearful times that would, as Paul the Apostle states, would be violent times or perilous times. We are living in it. But God in his mercy has told us that these things would happen, so that when they begin to happen, we might take to heart his words of promise. He said, when you see these things begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, even at the door. He stated that in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. We are looking square at the day of the Lord. And I am of the persuasion that the United States of America is the object of God's righteous indignation at this point and coming to the 7-year tribulation. I am inclined to personally believe that these things that we are speaking of, when Babylon is judged to the point to where the city and Babylon is placed in darkness, is going to take place sometime in the 7-year tribulation. And if that be the case, and we are seeing these things begin to unfold before our eyes right now, how close are we to the rapture, the departure, the moments that Jesus told us about when we would escape? He said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about the redemption of the body. He's not talking about our position in Christ. We are already redeemed in the Beloved. God sees us in Christ perfect, whole, and complete. But he is talking about the redemption of the body. And that, my friends, is clearly, as far as I am concerned, before us. There is no mistaking. I know this ministry has been underway in terms of Sheep Song Ministry regarding our social presence for only a little over 2 years. But I personally have been studying Bible prophecy for 4.5 decades. I came to the Lord on the basis of Bible prophecy, and I have studied it carefully. And my PhD is in fact in theology and specific focus upon Bible prophecy. But you don't need a PhD to recognize the signs of the times. We are at the end. And the question is this: are you ready? For the believer, it is the most exciting moment for the Church of Jesus Christ as we anticipate a moment when these physical bodies of ours are going to experience a metaphysical change, where this mortal is going to become immortal, where our bodies are literally going to be changed like that of the Lord Jesus himself. You can see that in the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And interestingly enough, it was after 6 days that the Lord took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration. But getting back to being ready, are you ready? And again, as a believer, you know the importance of being born again. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is a prerequisite. You must be born again. And so the word of the Lord to you, my friend, today: are you born again? If you are not, this may very well be the final opportunity for you to make things right before the Lord, at least before the rapture of the church. You don't want to be around once the 7-year tribulation begins. It will cost you your head, for starters. And it is unnecessary. The Lord is inviting you to come unto him and to receive from him the gift of eternal life. You see the signs. You see the positioning of the nations. You see the geopolitical alignments. We could talk so much about all the different signs. But today, are you born again? If you are not, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Thousands have prayed this prayer with us in the past 2+ years. And maybe you will be the last one, but my friend, join with me right now and repeat these words from your heart and mean them. Dear Heavenly Father, say these words. If you're able, say them out loud. If you're not, say them from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this day and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess to you, Lord, that I am a sinner and that I need forgiveness. And I believe in Jesus. I believe you sent him to this world to sacrifice his life in my stead, to pay for my sins, and that through his blood, my sins are washed away. According to your inspired word, today I confess I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I open my heart and I invite you this day that by your Holy Spirit come into my heart and make me born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Today may be the last day that we here at Sheep Song Ministries are able to share about being born again, because soon we are going to be out of here. And I know that that day in one sense feels like it's so distant. In reality, it is not. It is just before us. And I have a word to share with you in closing. Those of you that have been worn out, you are struggling, you are tired, you are physically ill because of all the stuff that is going on around you and the people that you love and your concern for them, and you just don't know if you're going to have the stamina, the energy to continue on. I have a now word. I know it is from the Lord. And this is it. And receive it from him. It is from Jesus himself. And this is what he is saying to you. He said, and he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give you rest unto your soul. That is a promise from the very lips of our Savior himself. He invites you and myself to come unto him by faith and receive from him what he paid so dearly in order that we might receive freely, his love and his promises of assurance. He said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear any evil. He said, for I am with you. My rod and my staff, they are there to comfort you. until we meet again, and it may very well be in the air. Maranatha, my friends, Jesus is coming. He is coming soon. He is coming very, very soon. Amen, amen, and amen.
What a great victory, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm just giving time for my brothers and sisters to log in, for more people to log in before I begin to share. Praise the Lord, because I know what I have to share is exciting. Praise to Jesus. Praise to Yeshua. God is so awesome. He is so good. Hallelujah. He always has fresh manna for us. God always has fresh manna from heaven, the bread of angels. That's what manna was, the bread of angels. He gave it to his people. He will always have the bread of angels to give to us, my brother and sister. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. And his love is agape, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Okay, Revelation, thank you, Jesus, chapter 2 is where I begin to title this. Praise the Lord. And some of you will get it. You will get why is this title. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 says, 2:10, fear none of the things which thou shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He says for us to be faithful unto death, and he will give us the crown of life, my brother and sister. When we think about dying, we think about when our time comes, we die. But we don't think about that being faithful unto death is being willing to die for the Lord, my brother and sister. And as a sheep, we are sheep because of their meat, are always counter to the slaughter, my brother and sister. They always being raised to be killed, okay? You see, the Lord as a lamb, he was killed because they ate lamb and they ate sheep. And we are sheep, and the Lord was a lamb, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So, thank you, God. It was until death that he was faithful to the Father. And his example for us in the last days, we always have to remember, how did Jesus live? How did he walk? How did he spoke? How did he behave? And one of the things is his faithfulness to Father God. And we are being called to be like unto our master, unto our Lord, our rabbi. Faithful unto death, my brother and sister. So the Lord says to the church, fear none of the things that thou shalt suffer. Don't fear the things that you are going to suffer. And a lot of people will say, that's easy to say. That is easy to say, not to fear the things you're going to suffer. Because you don't know how much you're going to suffer and how you are going to die. The Lord don't want you to worry about how you are going to die or what you are going to suffer in the days to come. Everything is at hand. And it's in the hand of God. Our life is in the hand of God. Time, future, this earth is in the hand of God. Everything is our hand, the hand of God, the hand of Jesus. God plans our lives, and we don't know how we're going to die, if we are going to die, because some of us are appointed to the rapture, departure. Some of us will be changed and will be transformed, my brother and my sister. To the glory of God, however our life will be in the days to come, before we go home, let it be for the glory of God, my brother and my sister. But he's calling us to be unfaithful until death, because he showed us his faithfulness on the cross. And God has shown us his faithfulness on keeping us alive and protecting us and delivering us from all wickedness and evil planned against us, my brother and sister. He has kept us. He has protected us. He has delivered us. No matter what our enemy has planned against us, the Lord has been faithful to keep us, my brother and sister. Now he wants us to have this in our heart, what was in the heart of Christ, to be unfaithful unto death, he says. Behold, watch out for, or look for, or look, the devil shall cast some of you in prison. No one wants to go to prison. But if we do, let it be under the will of God. Let it be the will of God. That ye may be tried. For what reason you're going to be going to prison, or you may be going to prison, and it's to be in tried, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And our faith that is more precious than gold would be tried. It is being tried, has been tried. All glory be unto the Lord, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. That you shall have, tribulation for 10 days, my brother and sister. Where do these 10 days come from? Where is the foundation of being tried for 10 days? Where does the 10 come from? They say that 10 is an earthly related to man, my brother and sister. But when you go to the Genesis 8:5, the Bible says that the water decreased continuously for 10th month. And the 10th month, hallelujah, on the first day of the month, the top of the mountains was seen, my brother and sister. So when 10 months had passed, God did not went beyond the 10th with Noah and his family, because they were being tried and tested through what they were going through, my brother and sister. So their test was not going beyond 10th. At the 10th month, enough. The water began to subside. The mountain began to come up, my brother and sister. That was enough. Noah and his family could not take any more after 10. My brother and sister. Brother, how do you know this? Well, I'm going to keep reading. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13. They have no temptation taking hold of you, but such is common to men. But God is faithful, that he will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he will also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I still got more verses. Hold on. Thank you, Lord. So these testing, these trial, these temptations that Noah and his family were going through, wondering what was going to happen, my brother and sister, did not we not be on 10? And Revelation 2:10 says that our temptation, our tribe, will not go beyond 10, neither, my brother and sister. Because God, they have no temptation to take a hold of you, but such it is a common to men. And they will get a hold of you. It will come to you, unavoidable. But it's common to men. It will not take you beyond what you can withstand. Your face, your trial, it will not. Look to Jesus and know and understand that whatever God is allowing you to go through, you already have the victory, my brother and sister. You and I have the victory already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is faithful. Luke 22:46. This is how you will stand the temptation when you're going through. And he said unto them, a rabbi, our Lord Jesus, why sleepeth ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that every day brings its own trouble, and it's unavoidable. So if you and I are going to go through difficult time, temptation, and trial, his advice to you and I is, go through it in prayer. Go through it in prayer. Rise and pray. Get up and pray. Okay? Lots of people say, stop what you're doing and pray. Okay? Let prayer, while you're going through the difficult time, you will find out that if your household, your family, your marriage goes into a difficult time, a trial, if you learn to pray every time you do, you are going to learn to have victory always. You're going to learn the secret hidden by thousands and millions of years. that Jesus in his own life shows us how to overcome temptation through prayer. In Gethsemane, this is what Jesus did. He prayed. He didn't like that his disciples fell asleep because they were with him. They will also go through the same trial and temptation. Not the same as the Lord, but similar. Because he's not going to give what Jesus could carry. He was not going to give Peter, John, and Matthew and them because he knew they could not carry what he carried. They could not carry the cross. Only Jesus can carry the cross. My brother and sister, when he comes to them, he finds them, Cephas, Peter. Hallelujah. He found them asleep. That means that in the time when we should be praying that the devil is coming against us, my brother and sister, we are falling asleep. And the Lord says, no, arise and pray. Pray. Take the time to pray. Shalom, Sister Luna. Take the time to pray. Take the time, my brother and sister, to seek the Lord. In the more difficult moment, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah, because that's how Jesus taught us. That's his example to us, my brother and my sister, to pray. Hallelujah. Be thou faithful until death, he says. Hallelujah. Knowing that being faithful unto God is until death. Hallelujah. It has to be in our mind and our heart that whatever happens to us from now to going to heaven, it doesn't matter how we get there. The important part is that we get there, because a lot of Christians are going to be arrested and thrown in jail. The Lord showed me being thrown in a FEMA camp with my family, an example. And I pray it will not happen. Thank you, Lord. But if God does allow it, and we do end up, I hope in the Lord that I will be faithful still. My brother and sister, I've been in jail for the Lord. And when I say I've been in jail for the Lord, I've been in a level 6 prison for the Lord. What was I doing there? Why I was going to prison for over 7 years as a volunteer to preach the gospel, to lead men to Christ, my brother and sister. And the same feeling they had, I felt it, being behind bars. The only thing is, at the end of the day, the steel door were open for me to get out and go back home with my family. And they had to stay overnight. But all day long, we will be together for hours, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. By the end of the 7 years, I felt that I was in prison like them, because I was truly there. As they signed, hallelujah, that they were present there, because it's required, I will also have to sign that I was present there. My brother and sister, the same metal door that kept them in prison, in a level 6 prison, were keeping me in there. I was not allowed to come out of there unless the guard would give signal to the other guard to open the steel door. My brother and sister, shame, steel door, only opened by a remote computer. My brother and sister, level 6 prison. Hallelujah. I was in there sharing the gospel with them every week, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So going to prison doesn't scare me. Hallelujah. Being behind bars doesn't scare me. I was there volunteer for many years, my brother and sister, for the love of the Lord. Things that really make the Lord very happy that I did for him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that's where, hallelujah, when you love the Lord will send you to do things uncommon to men. It doesn't make sense for someone to go to jail voluntarily, my brother and sister, for the Lord. But when you love the Lord, you do whatever the Lord asks you. You have to be faithful until death. Hallelujah. So what else can scare you? Nothing. Nothing. So the Lord says for us not to worry while we are going to suffer. He says, and he is the price, and I will give you the crown of life. Thank you, Lord. I will give you the crown of life. Thank you, Jesus. I was going through difficult trial this week. Hallelujah. But I kept going with the Lord in prayer overnight. It don't matter. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, whether I can or not, hallelujah. The Lord gives me the strength because the Lord is my helper. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I began to ask the Lord to take me to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I say, Lord, take me to heaven or the millennium. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord is so awesome. He wanted to show me something that we spoke here on the Lord's Hour for years now. That when we are in the millennium, how is this going to be about us coming to the earth again and then going back? Hallelujah. Amen, sister. Going back to heaven. How is that going to be? The Lord wanted to show me how is that going to be. Because he's going to give us the blessing, hallelujah, of going back to heaven. But I noticed that not everyone will have the same blessing. For whatever reason, it might be people coming out of the Great Tribulation that will be headed for Christ going to the millennium. They may not, and this is because of what I've seen, my brothers and sisters, I don't know all the detail of this, but what the Lord has shown me. Hallelujah. He takes me to heaven, and immediately I'm in the third level. I'm walking in the street of gold. My brother and sister, I am, at this moment, the glory of Father, of God, is going through me, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, like the Niagara Fall, so strong from every side into my life. I was in total peace. I was in total joy. I was in total presence of Father, of God, my brother and sister. No worry, no concern, nothing. But this time, hallelujah, I had a friend waiting for me. My friend Daniel. I believe I share about my friend Daniel who's in heaven, a young boy. He was a crippled boy who was in a wheelchair in his last day before he died serving the Lord. And he died. I met Daniel on earth before he died. And was so happy to meet him, and he was so happy to meet me, and we call each other friend. When the Lord took me to see Brother Daniel years ago in heaven, his house is near the lake. This is when he said, Elby, my friend, you see my house that the Lord has given me and my parents. And I'm like, I'm looking at the house, but then I'm thinking, his parents are still on the earth. But he said that the Lord has given him the house to him and his parents. And I look at his house and I said, Daniel, at this time he was not in a wheelchair anymore like he was. My brother and sister, he was walking. He has beautiful legs. God had made him whole, completely healed. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he was standing. He was walking. My brother and sister, I said, Daniel, my friend, well, this is amazing. He said, the Lord is so good, Brother Elvie. Look what he's given us. He's so merciful. Look at the house. Look at everything he's given us. He had a boat with him, next to his house, close to a lake. And as we were talking, he got into his boat and began to go on the water, rejoicing. He spends a lot of time doing different activity in heaven. But it's because on earth he was paralyzed from his waist down. My brother and sister, at heaven now he's walking and running. The things that he could not do on earth, God is allowing him to do in heaven. And he's rejoicing. He's a young man. Every time he sees me, he calls me my friend Elvie. He sees me, he's waiting for me. Third heaven, third level. He says, my friend Elvie again. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. But before I came to Daniel, Jesus was speaking to me because I had asked the Lord to speak to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus says, my son, you can ask me to bring you to this place, and I will bring you to this place. But he was talking to me about when we come down to the millennium, he was confirming something that I wanted to share. And it's that when we are in the millennium, how do we go back to the third heaven, third level? We just got to ask Jesus. If you ask me to come back to this place, because, hallelujah, I will bring you here, he says. And he was showing me the millennium on earth, the new earth. Wow, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can come to this place, he says. I'm walking in tremendous glory. But I have so much question. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Remember what I share, that only Jesus satisfies me? You can show me mansions in heaven. You can show me animals that fly. You can show me buildings and rivers and lakes. And I say, yeah, that's okay. I want to see Jesus. Only him makes me happy and rejoice in God Almighty. My brother and sister, the rest are just things. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. But Brother Elvin, let's go see this museum. There are things that Esther, Moses, had. I'm sorry, I want to go see Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So my friend Daniel is walking with me in the third heaven, and we're walking in the golden street. We're having a conversation, him and I. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He was talking to me about his family. We were talking about being friends and coming together and spending time together. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And there are things that I know I cannot share tonight, that I was talking with him. Hallelujah. Because for some reason, God don't want me to talk about it tonight. But then let me tell you, the Lord brought me back into the millennium from the third heaven. And I'm there. I'm with a group of sisters and brothers from the Lord's Tower. Hallelujah. And the Lord wanted me to share something with them. My brother and sister, I had a Bible in my hand, and I said to them, I want to share something with you about faith in the millennium. We were all in the millennium, a group of brothers and sisters from here for the Lord's Hour. Hallelujah. I believe either about 50 or 60, around this number there. I didn't count them. My brother and sister, and I said, follow me. And it was like a lake in front of me in the millennium. It was a large river. And I said, follow me to the river. Hallelujah. Remember back in the Dominican Republic when I died under the water, part of my testimony? There was something similar to that in the millennium, under the water. And I said to my brothers and sisters in the millennium, I want to show you faith in action. Thank you, Lord. That whatever limitation we had, because of the physical limitation that we have on the earth, by faith, we don't have that limitation. When we walk by faith, we don't have these limitations. And my brothers and sisters were looking at me, standing there. And I said, look, what I'm able to do by faith. And I jumped into the water, and there was like a ladder under the water, like about 9 feet under the water. And the ladder, it was tight enough that my body would not fit physically through the ladder under the water. To be in 9 feet under the water, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Without limitation on not being able to go through the ladder, I said, I'm going to show you what we can do by faith. And I jumped on there, and I believe I can go through it like Jesus walking through the wall. And I went through the ladder and went and swam upside. And everyone there standing was like, Brother Elvie, how do you do that? I said, by faith, you can do it. Just as the Lord walked through the wall in the midst of his disciple. My brother and sister, he is the great example. It's not you and mine. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about Jesus. Remember, he already showed us first the example on how to walk for God, how to live by faith, how the righteous, he says, shall walk by faith, the Lord says. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And Jesus wanted me to share this with my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. That the limitation we have in our body, in our physical body, by faith, we don't have those limitations if we walk by faith. But this is a walk with God where we are learning. And he is revealing himself to us every single day as we seek him. This is why a lot of people have a lot of questions. But you know how a lot of questions are answered in God? With a lot of prayer, my brother and sister. There might be that you have a million questions that you want to ask me in person. I will tell you, hold up those questions and ask Jesus in prayer to reveal it to you. Because he can reveal it to you on a level that is impossible for me and any man to explain them to you. My brother and sister, God has no limitation. With God, Jesus said, all things are possible. My brother and sister, we are full of limitation. But by faith, we will overcome those limitations in Christ our Lord. My brother and sister, hallelujah. As I'm looking at the millennium, and I'm looking at the river, and I'm looking how clear the water is, how beautiful the mountain, the air, hallelujah, how our life very soon is going to be totally different, as the Lord was showing me, that we are practically there, that this life, my brothers and sisters, we haven't realized, but this life is becoming part of our past that we are not going to remember, and that it will not even come to mind. We're going into a new life with the Lord where everything is new. Jesus said, I make all things new. My brothers and sisters, we're going to learn to live, to walk by faith, as the Word of God says. My brother and sister, 100%. Hallelujah. By the time we walk completely 100% by faith, we're going to walk, my brother and sister, we're going to turn into eagle and dove and fly away. We're going to turn into lion and fly away. My brother and sister, when we completely in heaven walk by faith, hallelujah. But this is a process. And it begins on this earth. It begins down here. Hallelujah. That with God, Jesus said. With God, he taught his disciples in Bible study. All things are possible. That is by faith, my brother and sister. And we can only learn this mystery by walking close with him and asking him to explain these things to us little by little. Because at once it may shock us, some people say. Little by little, he is patient. He is loving. He has an eternity to teach us. But in a few thousand years, you and I will be flying in the sky to heaven. Like lightning, we will move. Faster than light, we will move, my brother and sister. We will fly like eagle in heaven. We will disappear from the presence of someone and move to another galaxy in less than a second. By faith, my brother and sister, we will completely understand what is to walk by faith and not by sight. That just to believe God, that God is our rewarder of them that genuinely seek him. That in heaven, God rewards his believer. God rewards his children. God rewards his angel. God rewards his creation every single day. There is a reward coming from the throne of Father to his creation, to the angel, to the redeemed, to the spirit, to everyone who's serving him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He lets them know his love, his agape, great love, unexplainable love. Hallelujah. Is available for us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm looking in heaven. Of the heavens of heavens, how beautiful they are, made by God with the glory of God. My brother and sister. And being brought back to the millennium, all I can think of is the trial that we're going through on this earth are only preparing us for that great eternity. Are only preparing us for our new lives. That is by faith. My brother and sister. Repent and pry down and unbelief. It helps us so much. It just helps us so much. Repenting our sins and pride every day helps us so much. Seeking the Lord, spending that personal time with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, is so special. It is so special. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's so much God wants us to have. Hallelujah. But we are not ready for so much. Hallelujah. But he wants to give it to us. He wants to. We're not making him. No one is making him because he loves us. He made us. My brother and sister, as we come to him and ask him to, we ask him to teach us. Rabbi, Lord, teach me. Reveal me. Lord, help me to understand your plan for my life. Help me to understand, Lord, what you have for me ready. Lord, prepare me to receive what you have for me, oh Lord. If we pray this way every day, asking the Lord to prepare our life, prepare us heart, to prepare our mind, to prepare us to receive what he has for us, he will do so. A lot of Christians are so afraid of the trial and tribulation. My brother and sister, that's all they think all day long. Why don't they don't commit their life to the Lord? Why don't they fast? Why don't they pray? Why don't they seek the Lord as they should and they know they should? It's because they're afraid of the testing, the trial, what people may say is part of the trial. Their family rising against them is part of the tribulation. They don't like that. They want to serve God and be loved by everyone. Well, that's not the way it is because Jesus, hallelujah, was loved by God and by his disciples, but hated by the Pharisee and hated by the scribe. They wanted to kill him. That's how much they hated him. My brother and sister, and that was okay for the Lord. As long as he was doing the will of the Father, he didn't care how much they hate him, how much they wanted to kill him. He just wanted to please Father. My brother and sister, no matter what will cost him, being hated by all, by being loved by God, that's what really mattered to him. My brother and sister, and Paul says to Timothy that we will have the mind of Christ. If we have to have the mind of Christ, we have to be thinking like him. As long as I'm seeking the will of God, I don't care if the world hate me, if the world reject me, if the world don't want to hear what I have to say. It doesn't matter. As long as my Father, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. As long as my Father is pleased with my life, that's what matters. If we have the mind of Christ, what was in his heart, what was in his mind, what he did every day, my brother and sister, we are going to receive God's promise. Hallelujah. So the Lord says to John, fear none of the things which thou wilt suffer. Don't fear them. Don't be afraid that you are going to suffer these things. Don't be afraid of what you're going to suffer. The devil's going to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. Your suffering will go on for 10 days. Be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. This crown of life, once you get it, is yours forever. You don't lose it, my brother and sister. It's a crown that is significant of you and I reigning with Christ. When you get this crown, you will go into heaven, you get the crown, you celebrate the wedding. Then if you're coming down to the millennium, you're coming down to reign with Christ, because you have a crown as king and priest for the Lord, Revelation 1. That's what we are going to be, because now you have a crown. You are a queen or a king with Christ. That's why he is Lord of lords and king of kings, because he's going to have many kings with him, my brother and sister. He's going to have many that are going to, under in his name, lead many, hallelujah, lead many to him, command many to seek him, and obedient to him, my brother and sister, lords of many, kings of many, that are going to reign with him in the millennium for 1,000 years. His plan is for all eternity that his people are going to reign with him. But there is the last trial, which is the millennium, my brother and sister. So many are coming from the valley. Great multitude are coming from the earth from the great tribulation. People remember the bride disappearing. Millions of children disappearing. It will awaken the Jewish people in Israel and all over the world. But it's all going also to awaken a world of people that are sleeping, billions of them, right now that are sleeping, that those are not seeking the Lord, are not repenting. But God wants to save many of them. And when the church is gone, which is about to happen, my brother and sister, going into the Great Tribulation, they are going to remember that they heard the church for many years, hundreds and thousands a year, preaching about this rapture departure of the bride of Christ. It will be in the back of their mind, and the Lord will remind them of them that he wants to save. It will be in their memory. I saw this in the millennium, and one of the young men that the Lord sent me to speak to in the millennium, in his mind, he remembered the church disappearing. And when the Lord sent me to him, he says, Elvi, I remember you from the Lord's hour. And I finally, wow, I didn't know if people on the earth remember the Lord's hour. I guess there are people around the world who listen, and some that have listened and walked away. So I remember, what are you doing here? And I said to him, the Lord has sent me to speak to you. He said, how can I forget you people? The church of Jesus disappearing, going with him. It's in our memory. We cannot forget, he said. Every day I think about this. Hallelujah. And I also want to be saved. And I said, the Lord has a plan to save you. Oh, but you don't believe how hard this is, Brother Elvi. This is really hard. Our life here in the Great Tribulation, he says, is so difficult. It's so hard. We got to be running and hiding. They're seeking to kill us every day, every hour. Anyone wants to kill us. Anyone wants to turn us into the government. The FBI has the Christian, especially the leaders, hallelujah, wanted, hallelujah, dead or alive, my brother and sister, and they prefer death so they don't have to kill, they don't have to deal with people. Hallelujah. Dead or alive, Christians are being hunted by the FBI, hallelujah, by the CIA, hallelujah, by the government agency. And your name is on top of the list, Elvis. It didn't matter to me. I was earning heaven. Praise you, Lord, visiting the Great Tribulation. Hallelujah. If anyone see you right now, they'll recognize you. And they'll come for you. And that's the way it was. As we were speaking in the parking lot, some of the people saw me. Is that who I think it is? I saw his face in the FBI Most Wanted. That's Elvis Zapata. Oh, man. And the whole multitude began to chase me. As Sister Celestial, as Jesus revealed to Sister Celestial, my brother and sister, Christians are going to be wanted in the Great Tribulation by the government. Want to either hunt them, kill them, or imprison them, remove them from the population. My brother and sister, that everything that the Christian has been speaking about, their teaching must be removed. It's already in law, placed in law, that they must be removed. My brother and sister, our governments, our city, our county, they all, my brother and sister, hallelujah, are coming agreement that any Christian should be arrested or killed, shot, my brother and sister. So any Christian alive that proclaim to be a Christian, and people are so evil that I notice they go around, are you a Christian? And I saw some other people, I'm not, look, and show the person the mark. That's another thing I saw. We were asking a guy there, he was walking or behaving like a Christian, and some of the people said, are you a Christian? Are you? And the guy was showing the mark. No, look. And he was denying God right there. I'm like, oh. My brother and sister, they're so afraid of the authority. They're so afraid of being going to jail, being shot or anything. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say again? Be faithful until death. Well, these people don't want to die. They prefer to deny the Lord who saved them, says the Bible. The Lord who went to the cross for them. They're so afraid of the police, of the FBI, of the CIA, of any agent of the government that can kill them or shoot on them or persecute them or throw them in jail. Be faithful. Be thou faithful until death, Jesus said. My brother and sister, forget about what they can do to your body, that they cannot do to your soul, Jesus said. My brother and sister, you got to understand that this is life or death right before us in the last days. And things are still okay. Everything has changed, but things are still okay. But once the judgment began and depopulation severely come, now look at this. September 23rd of this month, diesel in the United States is going to run out. my brother and sister. Hallelujah. You can look it up on Hallelujah on the Energy Department webpage. Okay? This is going to run out in the United States. Here's the thing. Any trucks, any vehicle, after September 23rd, that decide to deliver diesel without Homeland Security will not be allowed. When I heard this, this is all planned. This is all planned. It is all planned. My brother and sister, hallelujah. They want to end up in Biden wants to release diesel from the government supplies. You know how long if you release diesel one day for the hot country? It's only going to run for 9 hours. After that, no more diesel. That's all they have in backup diesel. That if he decide to release diesel for the whole country, will be for 9 hours. Okay? Our energy companies, our power company need diesel to for the truck to pick up coal from the coal mine and bring it to the company so they can keep running our electricity. They're not, those vehicles that run a diesel are not going to be able to deliver coal, my brother and sister, for our electricity to keep running. Do you see the emergency? The trucks that use a diesel to deliver food to the supermarket are not going to be able to deliver food to the supermarket because they don't have diesel for that. My brother and sister, the mess already been planned. The depopulation that we've been talking about is around the corner. It is around the corner, my brother and sister. All this plan that they have, hallelujah, because in the winter, if people don't have heat for their home, you know how many elderly children can probably die? Millions. My brother and sister, what coronavirus did not do, the winter can do it. It's been proven in the past, my brother and sister, and they know it doesn't fail. There's a temperature drop in this northern state of the United States. In the month of December and January, the 2 months that the country may have no diesel for the building, for the elder, for the children, can you imagine the amount of people that could die? It is terrible. My brother and sister, but it's all planned. And no company can deliver to the 23rd diesel without Homeland Security approval, which they're not going to approve, is the plan. The plan is that when a company says, we have diesel, we wanted to deliver Homeland Security, it's going to say, park your truck, and you do not dare to move your truck. Because we will have agents in the main highway, and if you do, they will shoot to kill. My brother and sister, it is planned. It is planned. God help us. But did not the Lord have been saying to his prophet that this was coming? Did not the Lord say that a severe winter is coming? A grievous winter was coming. Did he not say to his prophet for us to prepare with emergency food supply, candles, flashlight, and whatever you can, my brother insisted. He warned us for months, for years back, if we go back years and we go to the archive, and we pull out all these prophecies, and we sit there for hours to hear these prophecies. We will hear the voice of the Lord say, my children, prepare. Hallelujah. For a planned, wicked, evil winter that is about to come where my children will have to go through. My brother and sister, with their plan and depopulation. My brother and sister, it is terrible. It is terrible, the trials and testing that are in front of us. But the Lord is saying to us to be faithful until death. My brother and sister, if some people that listen to us in the north find themselves with no heat, with no power, and they're dying every hour of the winter because the temperature drops below zero in New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, hallelujah, Pennsylvania, hallelujah, and they're listening to the Lord's hour, and they're dying slowly. My brother and sister, be faithful until death. Give glory to the Lord, for whatever we go through. Whether we live or die, we will be with the Lord. My brother and sister, been asking the Lord now for days. Lord, confirm to me what's going to happen when the diesel run out in the end of November and December and January. Lord, reveal me, please. What is going to happen so I can share with my brothers and sisters? And it was like, you're not going to be, he did not allow me to see from the 23rd to January what is going to happen. Because what is going to happen is We need to endure. We need to persevere. Well, what's going to happen in those 10 weeks, my brother and sister, Noah endured 10 months. Revelation said 10 days. We got 10 weeks in front of us of no heat, no diesel, maybe no food delivery. And the power companies are planning to cut down power in the main city and just to provide power to hospital, emergency, hallelujah, places, ambulance, hallelujah, and these emergency that they have. Because with the little coal, they're going to have to keep running the plant, the power plant, my brother and sister. There's not enough coal, and the trucks will not be able to deliver them. And they cannot send the truck to get more because without Homeland Security approval, they cannot do so. And they're not getting approval. This is all planned. I'm studying the whole thing. I'm seeing. I'm reading about it. I'm listening to people, listening to media. I'm listening to the news, what they have to say, what Kamala has to say, what Biden has to say, what they have to say about it. They don't care. My brother and sister, that maybe millions of children and elders are going to die. So have enough blanket in your house. My brother and sister, try to buy propane tank if you can. I know propane heater in your house, many homes is not ready for run propane heater. Try to prepare yourself and your family as much as you can, because this is all planned. Without Homeland, hallelujah, approval, no truck can deliver until the 23rd, all the way to January. I'm listening to companies who think that they may be getting to start running this stuff back, diesel back in the U.S. in February. My brother and sister. So they want people to go through the whole winter without it. This is not good. Things are changing. I don't want to be here in 2024, but if we are here, it's going to be very difficult. I share with people that I saw the Lord a few weeks ago pointing to December of this year. What was he pointing to? I didn't know what the Lord was pointing to, but he was pointing. I saw Jesus. He had a calendar for this year, and he was pointing to the month of December. I don't know whether it was for the earthquake in California. I don't know if it was, why was the Lord pointing to me a few weeks ago? December, December, December. And now I'm starting to get the idea of what he was pointing to. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Yes, seven is perfect. And the seven were gone. The Lord knows which seven it is. And the seven were gone. But there are 10 days of trial and testing that we must endure, that we must be faithful until death. My brother and sister, yes, we are close to the seven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are so close to the seven. Seven means fulfillment. We are at the time where God fulfilled the time for the bride of Christ. The time and grace end in seven. And in seven, we disappear. Because we're only here for the time of grace, where it's about to, my brother and sister, change. The only reason why Benjamin Netanyahu is coming back into office as a prime minister, it is because Israel is getting ready to go to war with Iran. And they believe that no one knows Iran more than Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu will put a coalition asking other nations, because no one more than Israel than him, and Ariel Sharon, the former leader that passed away in Israel, has been able to gather the nation to defend themselves from Iran and many other Arab nations. Benjamin Netanyahu, they believe, the Jewish people believe, that he has that grace, my brother and sister, to ask help from the United States, from Germany, from France, and gather a coalition of planes where Israel will be protected from the attack of Iran. Because Israel had learned that Iran had developed a very good missile program, where they have hundreds of thousands of missiles that can hit in Israel, in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, in any corner at any time, easily. My brother and sister, that the Dome of the Rock that they had last time they were tested last year in 2021, did not protect them as they thought it would. It only protected them about 70+% at all the missiles that was being sent that had buildings in Tel Aviv. My brother and sister. So how many Benjamin Netanyahu back into office? He believed that they will have a stronger umbrella of the protection, my brother and sister, and that he will gather a coalition from all the nations of planes and weapons and people and soldiers, where Israel will be better protected if Iran, my brother and sister, if they have to fight Iran. And they know, they have said it many times, they have no choice but to go to war with Iran. Iran had gathered Egypt, Pakistan, and many other nations to get themselves ready. They have made a Tamil, Psalm 83, a group of army, Iran army, with very advanced missile and drones, which they're being tested in Ukraine right now. And a lot of those drones that Iran sent to Russia to be used in Ukraine are demolishing Ukraine. They're demolishing federal buildings and buildings of the populations, my brother and sister, to pieces, to dust. And those drones, which Iran wanted to test in Ukraine, are being tested there, my brother and sister, very successful against anything United States, France, and Germany sent to Ukraine to defend themselves from all the drones that Russia was sending in. Well, Iranian drones are being very successful there. And those are the drones that they're going to use against Israel that they've been building for years, that Obama and they helped them build with U.S. intelligence when he was in office. It's terrible, my brother and sister, terrible, the things that are being planned. Hallelujah. But this Psalm 83 war now, the Benjamin is coming into office, can be within weeks from now. Because they believe what sooner Benjamin Netanyahu comes into office, within weeks, he is planning to go against Iran with everything they have. But Iran gave them last week a low blow, my brother and sister, when Iran, before the UN, made sure that the UN voted against Israel, that their nuclear weapons must be removed in Israel, my brother and sister. And if Israel, according to this UN resolution of 100 plus against five nations, my brother and sister, that if Israel don't comply, Israel will not be supported by the UN. And if Benjamin Netanyahu decide to go against Iran, no other nation that are part of the UN are supposed to back up Israel. So Israel right now is not in good standing with the UN. The UN have betrayed Israel again, as they have done many times, my brother and sister. But God is with Israel. Our God is with him. And the church is still on this earth to pray every day for the peace of Israel, for the protection of these people. My brother and sister, that God will rise in the right moment and fight for them. My brother, my sister. So everything in laws and weapons and all being put into place for Israel to be wiped away as a nation. It's what Iran and all the nations are planning. Wipe away the nation of Israel, where the nation of Israel, the name of Israel, will be no more. It's what they plan. They have made their own coalition already. And they think this time it cannot fail them. The drone is being proven that they can take on Israel now and in any time. My brother and my sister. But it doesn't matter how advanced they make the drone and weapons. Our God, no weapon can take him down. My brother and my sister. This is why prayer, the prayer of the righteous, availeth much. The church is here. The church is here. We are not to be depending on weapon. We are to be depending on God, that he will fight for them in the moment, my brother and sister, they need it. Again, hallelujah, the UN has turned their back on Israel and are making Israel more vulnerable than ever, because now they want to force Israel to remove their nuclear weapon that they have used to keep their nation and base, a base, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter if they get to remove them, because God is with Israel, and God's going to show his power in the days to come. So the Psalm 83 war is about to begin. Israel leader has said they have no choice but to attack Iran very soon. We're talking about weeks from now, maybe days. My brother and sister, one of the signs the Lord's given me, the word in Israel, the earthquake in California is about to happen, sadly to say. The eastern tsunami is about to happen. Some people that have dreamed about, like brother, the brother was saying earlier, hallelujah, Brother Stroud, I believe it was, he was saying he had dreams, hallelujah, about, hallelujah, earthquakes that are about to happen. Let me see if I know he put it in the chat room. Thank you, Lord. But these things are about to happen. And like him, many people, he said he had two dreams about severe earthquake in the southern part of California. To be most of going to the grocery store, price it was too high, no food available, just leftover bad food, but it was very expensive. Only, hallelujah. Brother Estrada, this is not the first time he had dreamed about things to come. I remember him weeks ago, months ago, sharing dream that he had from the Lord. So it's something the Lord's been revealing to him, the dreams that are about to happen, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, he's not the only one. There are other thousands of brothers and sisters that the Lord has given in the rain from the eastern tsunami that is about to happen, from the earthquake in California that is about to happen, and that this war in Israel, my brother and sister, is about to go. What they were looking for on the first of this month, in November, getting Netanyahu back into office now, my brother and sister, as they did this week, is what they wanted. They believe he will be the leader that will represent them before the nations to get support. I don't think God wants them to get support from other nations. God never needed the help of anyone. My brother and sister, everyone needed the help of God, but God had never needed the help of anyone. My brother and sister, he's going to show his power. The Lord has been saying to his prophet, he is going to show his power. The nation will see his power, my brothers and sisters, and the nation will know that he is God. Thank you, Lord. He is so good, and he is so awesome, and he loves us very much. Psalm 87, his foundation is the holy mountain. Notice that God, everything he established is based on his holiness, and based on everything being to his glory. Holiness is what he is. He is holy God, righteous and pure. The Lord loves the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Israel, he had chose, my brother and sister, to be in his city. Jerusalem, from being the capital, his city, of the great king. And he loves the gate of Zion, Psalm 87, too, more than all the dwelling of Jacob, my brother and sister. Because Jacob dwell in many places. But Jerusalem has been the place that God has chosen for his son. My brother and sister. Verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Praise the Lord. This is the city of the great king that God is going to protect and deliver. Verse 5. In Zion shall be said, this is what men were born in her, and that the higher himself shall be established in her. This is when Messiah is coming to establish his kingdom, my brother and sister. And that the people, hallelujah, are going to come and speak with him face to face in the millennium. Verse 6, the Lord shall count when he weighed off the people that this man was born there. Hallelujah. Everything about us, including our weight, the Lord will count. He weighted up the people. Hallelujah. I wonder how much people weigh and how much of them he's going to weigh. My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So every ounce of Christ in us is going to be shown in the millennium, my brothers and sisters. Verse 7, singers as well as players, an instrument shall be there and say, all my spring are in thee. What are they doing? They're giving the glory to Jesus. They're giving the glory to God. Everyone is recognizing that, How, if it wasn't for the Lord, we would not be, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. People were given glory. People will praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, and if we shall also live with him. In other words, nothing that we are, hallelujah, we can be without him. We are because he is. As I live it, you also live, said Jesus. We live because he lives. We are because he is, my brother and sister. And when we are in the millennium with him, hallelujah, we will be like him. And we will represent him. And we will go through all the earth like him. We will move in the spirit of thought like him. We will go through war. We will do mighty things because he is God and he's able to do all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's an awesome God. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who was faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince over the king of the earth, and unto him that love us and watch us from our sin and his own blood. We are because he is, my brother and sister. We live because he liveth. Thank you, Lord. We will be, hallelujah, we are in God. Because he is in God. As he is, we will also be revealed in the days to come. My brother and sister, God has an eternal plan. And God's going to reveal his plan to his church, his people. My brother and sister, it's going to be mighty what our eyes are going to see. Thank you, Lord. The prophet Samuel prophesied and said in Samuel 26:23, the Lord render unto every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. For the Lord delivers thee to my hand today. But I will not stir for my hand against the Lord anointed. David recognized the Lord in every of his brother and sisters. And he said he will not raise his hand against the Lord anointed. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, I here now to worship God. Hallelujah. We are to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. My brother and sister, if someone render accusation against your brother and sister, pray. Intercede for them and say, Lord, have mercy. Help my sister. Help my brother, Lord, with the struggle. Whatever they're struggling with, help them, Lord. Help them to overcome anything, Lord, that they're struggling with, whatever temptation, whatever situation they're going through, Lord, help them. Help them. If you pray every day for your brothers and sisters, know that when your tribulation and trial comes, you will have total victory because God always repays his for whatever they have done, Jesus said. Their reward is according to what they have done, Jesus said. My brother and sister, in Revelation 21, your reward, if you pray for your brothers and sisters in the day of their temptation, in the day of their difficulty, for whatever they're going through, lack of money, hallelujah, lack of help, whatever health, whatever they're going through, whatever they're lacking, if you pray for the need of other people, when the time that you really need help, it will be available for you right away, and you will be shocked. You'll be like, well, I haven't even prayed for this situation, and God is already helping me. Because God repays faithfully. That's why we are taught not to speak evil against anyone, because God repays faithfully. And when you do something faithful for someone else of God, God, when you need it, when you most need it, he will repay you with good, with his goodness. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, Solomon said, my brother and sister, he will repay you with good. Right when you expect something to happen under the sun, God repays you with good, overwhelming goodness. Thank you, Lord. He will be there for you when you more need it. Psalm 5:9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. an inward part of, in the exceeding wickedness that throw an open sepulcher. They flatter with a tongue. This is what the wicked do. That God don't want us to behave wickedly like they do. Practice evil as they do. My brother and sister, no, we pray for mercy. We pray for God to help our brothers and sisters. Whatever it is, I have said for years, whatever you're going through that is so difficult, send me an email, zappa9999@gmail.com, and say, Brother Elvie, I'm going through something difficult. Can you please pray for me? Praise you, Lord. I have no problem praying for you, your situation. Thank you, Lord, and I'm sure the Lord is going to help you because we have prayed for so many thousands, and they have seen the Lord. Help them right away. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know why the Lord helps us when we pray? Because when we love one another, that love goes in our prayer when we pray. It's simple. If you love your brother and sister, and your brother and sister are going through something, and they send you an email and say, can you please pray for my situation? What do? You go and pray like you're the one going through it. You say, Lord, have mercy for my sister. Have mercy for my brother. Help them, Lord, supply their need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Open the door. Help them. Help them. And the Lord helps them. People have said, how is it, Brother Elvie? We have prayed. And the Lord, we ask him for prayer, and the Lord does it. Brother Elvie. Because if we love one another, it goes into that prayer. And that love, that prayer goes to heaven with that love that you have for your brother and your sister and goes to the throne. And Father sees that and see the love in that prayer, the care, like we are the one going through it ourselves. Like I'm going through what you're going through. Like I'm going through your pain that you're going through. When I pray this way, hallelujah, God sees that. The Lord says yes. The Lord says yes. God sees that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's the love that we have for one another that got to answer the prayer quickly. That's the secret for a prayer being answered quickly. When someone asks you for prayer, do you love them? Do you love them? Put that love in that prayer and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sister says to me last week, Brother Elvie, when you said that God had already answered our prayer, that the Lord in my spirit was confirming that in my spirit, I received that in me. She says, in my spirit, I was getting a witness of what you were speaking, Brother Elvie. When you say God had already answered your prayer, hallelujah, he already has. And the moment Daniel began to pray, it says that it was already answered. The answer was already given. The Lord has shown me this in heaven. When we ask at that very moment, he says, amen. It's yes. He already answered you for whatever you're asking him, a new home. Hallelujah. You're asking the Lord that you want to move up here somewhere. He already said yes. He already said yes. All you got to do now is persevere in that prayer until he brings you what you're asking for. There is a battle for you not to receive. But God already answered you. Last week, the Lord showed me Satan. And I saw the devil with his hand. My brother and sister, hallelujah, had an agenda. And that, in those like books that he writes, it's programmed. I'm like, how to go against people. He keeps a record. And he was using that. He was like in front of like a desk. He was using what he had in front of him. The Lord was showing him. I saw him. And I said, Satan, I began to rebuke him. Satan, the Lord rebuked me. And he kept doing it. He was trying to use whatever time he has. And I kept rebuking him until the Lord took him out. My brother and sister. But I saw him. Hallelujah. Someone says to me, Brother Elvie, when you were saying this, I was getting a witness that when we confess something negative against ourselves, the devil uses that against us. The Lord gave her a witness, and she was telling me this. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what the Lord was showing me. If you confess If you confess that you're going to lose something, you're giving the devil something to use against you. Never confess bad health. Never confess bad economy of your life, bad situation. Hallelujah. Always believe that God will provide you according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Confess that. Don't confess being broke. Don't confess having nothing. Because you're giving the devil something to use against you. And the Lord convicted her of this. At the moment the word came out, she heard it went into her spirit. And God convicted that she'd been confessing negative against herself. And that the devil been using that to attack her health, to attack her life. My brother and sister, everything negative that you confess against your finance, your health, your family, the devil will use that against you because you're confessing. That means you're not trusting the Lord in that area of your life. Remember that. We can have faith. It happens to me many times. We can be very strong in faith in one area of our life, but in another area we're weak. Then I began to pray. The Lord was focusing me in his wisdom to know and understand that if we are weak in our area of our lives, we need to pray that the Lord will make us strong. We are not strong in every area, and that's what the devil is using against us. So what do we need to pray? We need to pray. We need to pray. Someone said that if you walk around, some people admire pastor, men of God that are being used by God, very powerful, and they always think that everything about their life is powerful. They don't imagine that man having any weakness in his life. But they said if you walk around that man and that woman for too long, you begin to learn about the weakness. And that's what the devil sends his demon around people to watch them from far. Learn all their weakness. What are the weaknesses? They are Satan. Satan said anything they confess against themselves is their weakness. Write that down and bring it to me. And we'll use that against him or her. Remember that. Anything you confess, okay? If you say that your marriage is going south, they're keeping notes of that to try to make your marriage go south, okay? Even if you say that your children are disobedient, keep notes of that. The devil keeps notes. The Lord was showing me the devil having binders. That's what he had. He had binders, and some were stacked on top of each other, okay? In this case, because he was coming against me, he had binders. And I counted about 6 or 7 binders he had, my brother and sister. And each page was full of information that he uses against us, my brother and sister. And those binders, he keeps everything negative we say, we speak. Anything negative we confess, my brother and sister. Anything, any area of our life, well, we're struggling, but we have not asked the Lord for help. My brother and sister, I saw him. I saw him all these binders. And he had no care to use them against people. My brother and sister, he uses them. He uses them, my brother and sister, just like the serpent. Before he hunts a rat or a mouse, the serpent, the snakes, take their times, starting the mouse, the rat, every single move. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And sometimes you can see the rat, you can see the mouse really close to the serpent, the snake. And the snake doesn't attack right away. And you're like, because I watch it in the animals channel. And you can see the snake so close to the animal. I'm like, why is the snake not struck in this animal? It's just a simple fool right there walking in front. Why is it not doing it? It's starting every single move. And when she tried to make a move, immediately the animal run. But she already has studied every step, every move, every eye, everything. And she goes straight to where she needs to get them quickly and gets them. They miss very little, my brother and sister, because they study their prey very well. My brother, that's what the serpent, the devil does. He studies us very well. And when we are walking in the power and we're praying, miracles are happening, things are happening, the devil said, wait, he's in that human body, wait until they come to the hour of temptation. Wait until they're alone and they're confessing in negative and things are not going well. Wait for that. Wait until she loses her job. aware that she cannot find a job, okay, or a husband or a boyfriend, okay, way until she's there in the weak moment and attack right there. You never miss if you do that. The devil tell his demon, okay? You'll get her right where you want her to be. She'll fall into alcohol. She'll fall into weed, into drugs. She'll fall into anything. He'll fall into weed. He'll fall into drugs. He'll fall into prostitution right in the moment of weakness. And that's why some people keep falling back into the same, because that demon is not leaving them alone. They already know what the weakness is. So what do? That's when you present your weakness in fasting and prayer before the Lord. And you say, Lord, I cannot hide from you. You already know my weakness, Lord. You know already where I fought, Lord. Now, Lord, I present you in this fasting, my weakness, that you will make me strong in my weakness, Lord. That your grace is sufficient, Lord, for me to overcome this in your name, Lord Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. I will fast and pray for you to make me strong in this area. And every time, you can even ask the Lord to show you your weakness. Same thing the devil see in you, the Lord can show you the witness. Ask the Lord. Years ago, I started asking the Lord to show me these things. He began to show me witness in my life that the devil was using against me, because he uses your witness against you. And that's why you keep falling in your witness, because this demon, it's a very skilled demon he uses to sin against you. If it's a demon of fornication, give you an example. The devil sent a specialized demon of fornication to attack you in the moment of your weakness, because he's very skilled. And he already started that you in a certain time of your life, in a certain day, in a certain hour where no one is looking, you like to fall in that area. And he sends that demon right at those moments of weakness in your life. And he's so skilled that when he comes and attack you, he'll make you fall into it again. But if you humble yourself before the Lord, and if you ask the Lord to make you strong in your witness, to help you in the time of your witness, oh, my brother and sister, in the time of temptation, as he said to his disciple, pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah. That's why Peter, when they came to Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, he took out his sword and cut the ear of the soldier. Why did Peter do that? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus had told Peter, Matthew, and them in Gethsemane to pray with him, that the hour of temptation was approaching. But Peter and them fell asleep, my brother insisted. Peter fell asleep when he should have been praying, when the devil sent a demon. Hallelujah. When they were coming to arrest the Lord. And hallelujah. And Peter was asleep, and the Lord rebuked him for being asleep. Peter, hallelujah. When he found him asleep, he rebuked him. Remember the rebuke of Jesus, when you should be praying and you fall asleep. Hallelujah. My brother insisted, when the hour of temptation came and they came to arrest Jesus, Peter was like blind. He was blinded by the whole fact of what was happening. Took out his sword and cut the ear of the soldier. You know what was the punishment for that? Death. Death, my brother and sister. But Jesus now, look at the mercy of Jesus. He's so merciful. Jesus healed the ear of the soldier. So they will have no proof to bring against Peter. The rest of the soldier and the soldier now, what will they bring before the king? Because they will have to arrest Peter. Bring him before the king. Bring the ear of the soldier and say, look what he did to the soldier. All right, take him back. Kill him. That would have been the end of Peter. But the Lord wanted to use Peter, and Peter was his servant. He healed the ear of the soldier. My brother and sister, the soldier got saved because of the miracle. Peter got delivered from being killed by the miracle and the mercy of God. Praying to Jesus is the best thing you and I can do. Asking the Lord for help in the moment of temptation, it's the best thing you and I can pray and do, my brother and sister. Because the hour of temptation, when it comes, right now, we're coming to the end of November, my brother and sister. I know someone said, we're not in the middle, brother, yet. We're coming to the end of November. November 23rd, America is going to begin to be tested. No diesel fuel to deliver food, to deliver coal for the company to keep the power running in every city and every state. Now we're coming into a test that the Lord said it was coming. Hallelujah. In our temptation and testing that Jesus said it will come upon all the world. Hallelujah. How are we going to go through this? My brother and sister, it will be difficult for those that have not been preparing. Biden and Kamala Harris are acting like they don't care. Even when the media asks them about how they're going to help the people, they change the conversation. They talk about something else. That means they're saying, whatever happens when they run out of fuel on the 23rd, it's not our problem. It's their problem. My brother and sister, we serve the Lord. Now it's for us to pray and intercede. My brother and sister, God can supply our need according to his riches and glory. This is coming and it's around the corner. Now, my brother and sister, our faith is about to be tested. If you go in your house in this winter, temperature in the 20s and 30s, 2 or 3 days without any heat, how do you think your body's going to react? My brother and sister, even with the best coat and the best carpet in your house, you will be shaking with cold. My brother and sister, it's not normal for your body to go through this time this way. They know this. The elite know this. They know this. But this is where we need to trust the Lord now. This is where our faith is going to be tested for 10 weeks straight, my brother and sister. This is looking to happen. Then establishing that any company that will deliver diesel or anything else will have to ask Homeland Security for approval. It tells you that this has been planned. This has been planned, my brother and sister. Go ahead, type it on your YouTube. Type it on YouTube, November 23rd, no diesel. And listen to all the information they're giving up. They're already calling it cold red. Cold red, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It's what they're calling it already, starting on the 23rd of this month. Hallelujah. They're already warning people. This can be very serious. But it's not only in the United States. Europe is about to start a winter also, where many also state and country have no diesel too. They're blaming Ukraine. They're blaming Russia because the diesel that was coming to Ukraine for this country have been stopped by Russia, according to them. And that the only solution after this mess began to happen here and in Europe is for the United States and Europe to go to war with Russia. This is what the elites are planning. If they go to war, nuclear war with Russia, they don't have to worry about diesel because they think that if they destroy Russia, then it's easy to get the diesel from Ukraine back in the United States and Europe so people don't continue to die. It's how they're going to try to get the message to the Americans and the European, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Yes, my brother also is a truck deliverer in New Jersey. He uses a diesel truck every day, 6 days a week, to deliver food and supply to the different companies. My brother and sister, his company that delivered diesel in New Jersey for many truck companies there that they own, my brother and sister, they believe they have diesel until now, but after November 23rd, they don't know if they will have any more diesel in New Jersey. My brother and sister, by having Homeland Security approve any delivery after that, my brother and sister, it means that even whatever they have, whatever else they have, they're going to try to take that and say, no, the government is going to need it. We need it, not the people, just us. Okay? Look up the informations. Okay? Look at it. Go to the energy department online on the website. It's all there. All the information is there. On the 23rd of this month, November, they're saying that they will not have enough diesel for the whole country. And whatever they have will be used for emergency use only. You know what that means, my brother and sister. And the companies like Duke Energy here up in the north are planning to shut down power in many cities and just leave it for the emergency supply. This is shocking. As I started to look for more information, okay, it's terrible. The 2 good years that Sister Celeste is talking about, She's talking about what the Lord showed me. Once the bride goes, 2 years after the bride is gone, America will be nuked by Russia. Those are the 2 years. 2 years after is what she saw. And actually, what I saw was, not nuke. The economy is going to fall completely after 2 years, after the church is gone, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. This is all in the hand of the Lord. Only the Lord knows. But he showed me about 3 weeks ago, the economy falling 2 years after the church was gone. I knew that the church was in heaven already. And the economy, the stock market fell completely. It went straight to the Antichrist system, my brother and sister. But the church was gone. In the beginning of those 2 years, this country was already nuked. It was a mess everywhere. You couldn't go to any state, because certain states are going to be nuked directly, where like Washington, California, California will be in bad shape. But like New York, places that are really going to, they're going to, my brother and sister, point out to, because you're going to get New York and in California, the Eastern Tsunami, which are disabled New York and many other states. But as they start getting together again, Russia and those countries are going to take advantage of the mess here and take it over with China and them. My brother and sister, this mess that is coming, the church will not experience this mess. I know that a lot of people have seen it in dreams that there's still Christians on the earth. I saw Christians still at the end of the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. Why? Because these are Christians that are staying behind. The same that talks about in Revelation 13, when the manifestation of the Antichrist is here, and he'll manifest himself as a man of sin ruling the world, my brother and sister. There's still a lot of Christians here, my brother and sister, believer, but they're hiding in caves in different places. They're running from the life. The FBI most wanted. CIA, the FBI are looking for them. So the earth is a mess, my brother and sister. The church is not going to be here. Okay? Yes, we will see the three signs that the Lord, when I asked the Lord if we're going to see that, he said yes, before the rapture, the earthquake in California, the eastern tsunami, and the war in Israel. The war in Israel is about to start in a week or two, according to what's coming out of Israel. You know, again, there were the weeks before the word of Israel began. One or two is what the word of them speaking around, which they've been saying weeks past that this war is imminent, that this war has to happen against Iran, my brother and sister. And so they brought Benjamin Netanyahu to start this war with Iran with international support, which with what the UN approved last week, they're not going to get international support. Under the law of the UN, they cannot get it. United States cannot support Israel. No country can support Israel. They're signing into the UN according to international law, my brother and sister. I don't know how okay it will be if, let's say, United States, who was one of the nations who did not support it, what the UN passed against Israel, an example. What happened if the United States decide to help Israel? What will be the outcome? I think it will be no good. And there's a prophecy that the UN building is going to be moved to Europe. My brother insisted. That can cause the building to be moved. Okay? They have even said that there already a building being built in Europe for the UN to move it out of New York. Okay? And they've been waiting for the right opportunity. This will be the right opportunity if Israel, if United States goes against UN's law, they will use that against the United States and then move the building to Europe and then form a different coalition. It's going to be a mess. And we're already seeing all the changes, all the mess that are happening in regard to all this. Sister Celeste just put a word yesterday about food crisis. Food crisis coming. I'm going to play this last in the last hour. Full crisis coming to this nation. But it's not just this nation. The world is going to experience full crisis. My brothers in Colombia, they need to get ready. In Australia, Mexico, Canada, anyone around the world, Spain, you need to get ready with food supply. Don't wait. Because the whole, I just heard the Lord say, yes, thank you, Lord. The whole earth is going to experience this mess worldwide. A food shortage. Power outages. Which we are about to experience in the United States, power outages in the main city. Because our power company will not have enough coal to keep the power running, to keep our city running here. The end of November and December, in maybe January, even all the way through February. We don't know how far the elite are willing to put this out. Because the question is, they're allowing it to start in November 23rd. Right up by the 24th, no more diesel. And then they're going to have to start doing all these power outages in a different city. How far down the line are they willing to go? I've been researching information, and what I found out in February, they say 5 million barrels can come online of diesel in February. Still not enough, okay? So we can experience months down the line diesel shortage because what's happening in Ukraine and power outages in the main city. So 23 can be a year like the Lord showed me back in 2020 of darkness. Remember that? Remember what the Lord showed me for 2023? I saw darkness in the United States. I believe it was summer 2023 when I saw it. But I saw it in 2023. I saw power outages. If you go back to the archive, you see that I saw power outages. Without me knowing, why were we starting here on November 23rd of this month? In 2020, the Lord showed me power outages all over the U.S. I didn't understand what I was seeing. I just saw power outages. I saw cities with no power in the United States, all over the country. Why would the Lord show me this? And the way he showed me, my brothers, remember I also saw martial law coming right after that? So whatever it be in plan, my thinking was when I saw this in 2020, well, that means that the church is not going to be around for all this. Because I didn't see no Christian when the Lord showed me this. Which it led me to think that, well, we're going to be out of here before all that mess comes. Okay? I hope we are not around. Because seeing power outages all over the city of the United States, main cities. And the Lord just said yes to me. Telling you. He's never wrong. If you follow his guidance, every time he shows you something, you can expect it. You don't know how things come to be this way, but the Lord knows how. When he showed me this stuff, I didn't think that November this month of this year, 2022, this mess will begin. I didn't know. He just showed me that in 2023 will be power outages in the United States. And now things are making sense. The elite has been planning to let diesel fuel run out for us to go into 23 with no diesel. I mean, go into this winter with no diesel. And then they'll make excuses down the line that because of Ukraine, they're already blaming Russia. They're already blaming Ukraine. The reason why we have no diesel in the United States, we're going to run out of diesel completely. The only diesel left that they will have to try to preserve is the emergency backup diesel that the government has. That if they decide to put it out in the public, which Biden said he's going to let the public use some of that, it will only last 9 hours. Millions of barrels that could be used for emergency, he wants to put it out to waste that in 9 hours. That's a poor plan right there. That's a very poor plan. Because if they care for the people, they will say, all right, let's keep this emergency diesel supply until we can get more, and let's use it for hospital, let's use it for nursing home, let's use it for school system. Our school system are about, our buses are all mainly out of diesel. Very few schools have electric buses. But if our main power companies cannot supply power to the school system for the buses that are electrical that needs to be charged in order for them to bring children to school, they're about to stop our school system after November 23rd. Can you believe that? Our school system, bosses, will have no diesel to pick up our children to bring them to school. Now everything is going back online again, like they did back in 2020. A whole year, everyone going online, my brother and sister. Now the children are going back to going to school online, which is okay with us. It's fine with the parents, okay? But how long are they going to keep the school in the country without diesel before our children can return to school? No one knows. We're talking about months. It might even be years. I said to my wife, the only thing I remember Father saying, it's over. It's over for you. It's over. My brother insisted. God told me it was over a few months ago. And I keep reminding you. Father, the Lord said it's over. Father said it's over. And the wind is at you. A matter is established according to the word. My brother insisted. It's over. There's no... The Lord told me a few weeks ago, I remember, that the 3 days of darkness were very close. Okay? If the 3 days of darkness happened during these power outages, wow, that will be difficult for us, for the families. My brother insisted. But since the Lord and the Father said it's over in the 3 days of darkness, also the judgments are close. The earthquake in California, the eastern tsunami. God help us. If the eastern tsunami happening in these power outages, that will complicate everything. I'll be honest with you. That will make life more difficult for people. Because with I was thinking that if we still have power in the main city, if we have to go down and with this tsunami and help our other family and people, my brother and sister, we will be able to help them if we still have power. But if we have no power, it's difficult for us to stretch out our hand to other people who will be in darkness, who will be in the middle of a mess of a hurricane. I say hurricane, I said earthquakes, tsunami. It's really difficult to help people during this time, my brother and sister. Yes, people are going to burn their couches, their share, in order to try to stay hotter in their houses. But they can also end up burning down their building, the house. Because most of the homes in the U.S. are not, the way they used to be, where you can burn inside your house, they had all the chimneys and all the stuff, has been removed. Most all the part of the north houses and home, all the chimney has been removed. So cooking inside or burning wood inside, you're talking about over 90% of the home, they have removed all the chimneys up in the north, my brother and sister. 90% of the homes of the people were without a power because of the problem with diesel. Our main company cannot deliver the coal with the diesel truck because there's no diesel. So they have to cut down on the power in all the main city. So all the main homes will have no power. They're going to try to keep power in the hospital, ambulance, fire department. No guarantee, but they're going to try. No guarantee. My brother and sister. That means all main store will also be shut down. Someone has been seeing a lot of looting coming up, like I seen. When the Lord showed me 2023 back in 2020, I saw a lot of looting. I saw people running outside and to looting other people's home, looking to where a lot of power outages. People will break the people's windows and door and steal whatever they have. So the mess of these power outages that are coming are going to cause in the United States. Now, again, pray. Pray for you and your family. Stay inside. If you know you're not able to go to work, don't worry about that. Just ask the Lord to provide you whatever you are going to need in this time. My brother and sister, and if because of the power outages, we have no power to come on the air of the Lord's hour, this audio, please download them tonight. Download them this week before the 23rd. Download this audio. Keep them on your computer because you don't need internet if you have this audio to play it on your computer as a reminder. Maybe you need encouragement as a reminder because a lot of people will lose hope. The Lord has talked about these power outages for years through his prophet that they were coming. in that people will have no internet and they will have no cell phone. For some reason, there will be no power for the cell phones. Maybe in the first week or two, they'll try to keep the tower running for cell phones. But because they don't want people calling the emergency line all the time, they might bring the cell phones down too. My brother and sister, these elite don't care. Depopulation is what's in their heart and mind. They think there's too many people on the earth. Hallelujah. Remember, I will be praying for my brothers and sisters. Please keep us in prayer here too. If we're, and more likely, with what is coming, there will be no internet, no power for the computers. My brother and sister, what I done this week is I was able to buy these small heaters. Let me see if I can get the information on eBay. I looked them up on Amazon, but on eBay, let me see, from local companies, because you can get them from local companies in California. I believe also New Jersey has them. I will advise you to order them. You could connect a solar panel to it, and they will produce heat really good, okay? Because I have a greenhouse, okay? I have a greenhouse, and I connected two of them, okay? My greenhouse is about 20 by 40. 20 by 40 is my greenhouse. 20 wide and 40 long, 40 feet long, okay? With a clear plastic all over. And I got two of these heaters running. The temperature, I've been checking the temperature daily, it's in the 80s, okay? It's in the 80s, my brother and sister. I put them indoors and everything, and I've been running them. They've been running all day long. When the light comes out early in the morning and it hits a solar panel, the solar panel about 240 watts, okay? I'm going to test another 180-watt panel that I also have in the shed that I have not used for years, but I'm going to use that to test it also. I believe 180-watt panel you could use to run this heater. These heaters are 100 watt, okay? I put it in the chat room, so you can go ahead and look them up online. They have them in New Jersey, I believe it is. New York, okay? You can order them from New York. Amazon also have these heaters. You can use them for your house, okay? For your house, okay? They are small, but in the daylight, there is going to be light from the sun, and you can use that to heat up your home. My brother and sister, let me give you the link in Amazon. Okay, you may want to. They will run for 10,000 hours. I calculated 10,000 hours is 1 year. 1 year. Okay, you can order 3 or 4, and if you only need to keep the temperature in your house over 70 during the days, okay, even if your temperature goes into the 80, open your windows a little in the winter and use them. But try to get yourself a couple of solar panels, connect them directly to these small heaters. It has a little fan attached to it. You can run it straight from the solar panel. I'm using a dial in between them. A dial is, I think it's a 20-amp dial. So the dial can take most of the heat from the solar panel, and it sends the power to the DC power to these heaters that are DC, and they run all day long and produces enough heat nonstop from the morning to the afternoon with no problem, no problem. And that's why you need heat for your house. So I already ordered some more for my house. I haven't installed them because they're still, I just ordered them. I'm going to get them. As soon as I get them, I'm going to install them somewhere in my house where the heat can be sent into my house from the solar panel into the house and keep it running all day long. That will keep my family and I warm during the days. During the nights, now it's a bit more complicated but if you keep your house really warm in the night, in the 80s, when the night comes, if you keep all your windows closed, your temperature may drop to the 60, no less than that. And your house will stay warm during the night. I mean, you can cover yourself with jackets, with sweater, whatever you can, and keep yourself warm for the night. And then as soon as the morning comes, the heater will turn on right away. It will get the power from the sun to the solar panel, and you will keep your heart, your house warm all day long, which is I'm okay, and my family and I will be okay for the winter. I wanted to give this to the people. I already had tested it in my greenhouse. Temperature was even close to 100 and when the sun is hitting the greenhouse directly, and I keep them running straight. They work. If you buy them, try to buy them 100 watt or 150 watt. Don't try to go to the 200 watt or 250 watt because they require a bigger panel, and you don't want to go there. You want to keep it because they produce a lot of heat constantly. Buy the 100 watt heater with the little fan. Buy three or four of them. Use two of them in case one of them burns out, and try to keep it from close to any wood, cardboard, anything that can cut on fire in case one of them will burn out and will cut on fire. You can turn it off quickly, okay? And they're not dangerous, but because the quality is not the best, they're not bad, because I've been running them now straight for 3 days in my greenhouse, and they're working fine, no problem, okay? The solar panels, because the solar panel will provide the power for the little heater to be producing heat constantly with just simple light. You don't need the sun hitting the panel directly. Just light from the outside, from the cloud, will hit the solar panel. And the solar panel don't need to be the best. Any cheap solar panel that are 150 to 250 watt that are cheaper now, especially those that are used that are being discontinued, and those were made, some of them, for 25 and 30 years. Some companies have used it for 18 years, and they still got 15 years to be used. I don't think we're going to be here, my brother and sister, another 15 years or another 5 years. So whatever you can get out of the solar panel to warm your house, use them. Use them. Be wise. Prepare yourself for your family. Be at least a wicked or evil. They want to see a lot of people in this winter dies. And even in the coming years to come, they don't want our power to keep running. They want depopulation. And this is the way they're thinking to get it. Running out of diesel, the government not having a plan on how to help the people means they don't care. They have asked Biden, Kamala Harris, and them, and what they're going to do. They don't have an answer for anyone. The 2030 is around the corner. It's about to come. No diesel, no food delivery. You know, so many companies will close down because of no delivery. And it's so much that is going to happen in this month and the months to come. Before just this year is over, so much is happening, my brother and sister, and you can already see it. I can only remember what the Lord said. It's over. What Father said, it's over, my brother and sister. Okay? The bride, the Father, the Lord is about to take it's one of the last prophecies I heard from the sister that said, body of Christ, body of Christ. The Lord has said to her, the Father is about to give the Lord the order to take his bride out of the way. And that I know, my brother and sister, because what I feel being in the millennium and in heaven is that's where our life is going to be soon. Walking with my friend Daniel, my brother and sister, he said that he was telling me that we are about to enter to be together, my friend waiting for me. And remember that he's in heaven, okay, talking to someone there, not someone here, talking to someone there, up there. It makes it clear. I already have heard from two. I heard from another minister up in heaven a few weeks ago that he says to me, Elvie, your brothers are about to be in here. Okay? You're about to enter here, to be in here already. Do not dismay, he says to me. You're about to enter. Okay? You know this, right? And I say, yes. Praise the Lord. The bride is about to be in out of here. These three signs are about to happen quickly. They're about to just... one began, the other one following. Boom, boom, boom. Look, Israel already saying that sooner than Netanyahu enters into office, the war will begin within a week or two. What does that tell you? Netanyahu is entering office already. And the last leader, Naftali, was saying that as soon as they established a new government with Netanyahu, he was saying in an interview, the war must begin, and there can be no delay. Okay? My brothers, no delay. So he said that everything is ready for it. So as soon as Netanyahu come in, the RDF, everyone is ready in Israel. All the soldiers have been there. They've been training already these past weeks and months to begin their attack on Iran. And it is because Iran have built several bases, military bases underground, to begin to launch heavy-duty missiles against Israel to attack Israel from different positions, that if Israel don't get themselves ready for it, they can lose Tel Aviv and part of Jerusalem. And then, you know, they don't want to have high cuts, high death, a lot of people dying, my brother and sister. That's what they don't want. Because if they attack Tel Aviv and Jerusalem from the different position, Hamas has over 157,000 missiles pointing to Tel Aviv. So once Iran attack from one part, from different position, and then Hamas launch a missile, then the protection that Israel has will go crazy like it happened last year. And all these buildings in Tel Aviv will be destroyed. Many lives, maybe even the millions can be lost, millions of lives. And Israel can be lost, and that's what they're saying. If millions of lives are lost in Israel, it will all be for nothing. And that's what they don't want. That's why they need a leader like Netanyahu who can gather other people, other nations to join them and support them and make it easier for Israel to overcome Iran, which there are people that believe that will be impossible. That will take God. And that's what it's going to have to take, really. From what the Lord showed me, Jesus being in the sky in that revelation, fighting with Israel, and I saw Iran, like the sin of the sea, army coming down from the ground to attack Israel, all kinds of tanks and planes and drones and weapons and missiles coming to Israel. Literally, I would think there's no way Israel can fight them, so many of them, because there are other nations joining them. Egypt has F-16 and F-15 from the United States, plenty of them, that they're going to use it to support Iran. So they've been planning this for long. And this is the worst part, that Israel suspect that this is what they've been doing, because they've been saying it on Iranian television. The leader once in a while will speak out something they're not supposed to speak out, what they're planning against Israel. And they say that this time Israel will be no more. It's the word that they're using on Iranian television, my brother and sister. And that lead to the leader in Israel to understand that this time they have to have a big coalition supporting them. But right now, who will be willing to support them? Nobody, practically. Five nations. And if they go against the UN's law, the UN will move out of New York, which the Lord already has shown the UN moving, packing, and moving out of New York. That means the United States is going to make that mistake soon and go against UN international law. My brother and sister, it's going to get ugly sooner than later. I believe what begins in this month, in the 23rd of this month, in the United States, it will begin to set reality on people that have been sleeping like there's no tomorrow. Why is the Lord allowing things to go this way? Because it meant too many people sleeping who, unless they see, they won't repent. They won't get into fasting. They won't get into true repenting with the Lord. They need to see. And these are people that their name is in the book of Lamb, and the Lord wants to bring them home. But they're still sleeping because they think they haven't seen no judgment. They haven't seen no sign happening. They've been hearing the prophet for many years. Nothing has happened. And they think, well, God keeps saying, but nothing happens. What are we supposed to do, they say? No. We're supposed to be repenting even if we don't see it. But now is the time. The Lord's been saying this. Now is the time that people are going to see. But it's because they haven't been getting ready spiritually, some people, when they begin to see it, can they handle what their eyes are going to see? Can you see millions of people dying of cold in the winter? Children and adults, elders. Can you handle seeing them dying and you not being able to do anything for them? It's going to be tough, my brothers and sisters. God had never been wrong. God had never let anyone wrong. He had always had told people the truth. Whether they believe it or not, he had always put the truth first before his people. And had let them know, this is coming, my children, prepare. Even years ahead before it comes, to have people repent and prepare. Because the healing that you need, when you go through this worst time, when you go and see your neighbor dropping deadness to you, that can cause so much harm to your even spiritual life if you haven't been praying and repenting. Some people, when they see stuff like this, they blame God and they stop praying, they start repenting. They're not strong. When you are preparing, you're building your spiritual muscle, as some people say, to pray and fasting before it happens, years before it happens. So when it comes, it doesn't caught you by surprise, like the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians. Hallelujah. That we are not of the night to be sleeping. We're children of the light, he says. My brother and sister, you should already been repenting. You should already been seeking the Lord, building your spiritual life. So when these emergencies come, you are strong to deal with it. You are strong to lay a hand to someone and say, you know what, this is temporary, let's pray. And you lay hand on people. And you say, get up. Yes, your son died, your father died, your mother died, your brother died, your sister died. But you know what? This is not the end. God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. Here, I'll give you a hand. Let's pray together. Let me lay hand on you. Let's fast together. Let's call upon the name of the Lord in which we will be saved. The Lord can deliver us from the worst. The Lord will be with us through the worst time. The Lord will be with us through the cold, bad weather that we're in. As you're shaking, your body is shaking, and you give them blankets, and you give them jacket, and you help them. Let's burn some wood outside. Let's get a can. Let's throw wood in there. Let's put a match in there. Let's do this together. Let's help one another through this difficult time and trust the Lord through it. He will help us. He will not forsake us. He will supply our need according to his riches and glory. You will be strong if you've been repenting, if you've been seeking the Lord, but if you've been doubting, if you've been like Thomas, when the disciples said, the Lord we have seen, oh, I'm not going to believe unless I put my finger on his side. My brother and sister, doubting Thomas, he was not strong. He was weak. He was weak. My brother and sister, but the Lord is so merciful that Thomas' name was in the book of life, and the Lord wanted to save him. And the second time he appears to them, Thomas, hallelujah, the Lord rebuked his unbelief, hallelujah, and told him to be a believer, hallelujah. Come and put your finger in my side, hallelujah. Many people are like Thomas right now, that they need to see to believe. Well, we are in November, and November 23rd, diesel will run out in the United States. Although doubting Thomas, my brother and sister, I wish I can see the faith after November 23rd. And they began to see experience of winter with no heat and no power. I don't want to make fun of them, no. But I want to pray for the doubting Thomas. I want to pray for those, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, that will go through this not having the faith, the muscle that they needed to go through it. Our country, it's going in through a difficult time. And the Lord wanted to get so many ready, so many in repenting, so many in his word and his promise. But they did not listen. They did not commit it to the Lord. They, like Thomas, doubted. whether what his brothers was telling him, whether it was true or not, that lest they he will see what Peter, what Matthew, what Luke, what John was talking about, he will not believe. We got so many doubting Thomas among us. So many doubting Thomas in our stay in our churches among us, my brother and sister. I will ask you tonight to begin to pray for those doubting Thomas that are about to see judgment with their own eyes. Lack of diesel, lack of food supply, lack of power, outages everywhere. It's so much a mess. Without homeland security, no delivery can we make after the 23rd. It tells you that that was planned. Look it up online. Go ahead, look it up. Plan. At least I planned this. My brother and sister, depopulation is their agenda. Top of their agenda, depopulation. They don't care. There's only one that cares that went to the cross. And it's our Lord, Jesus Christ. Commit your life to him. Don't be like Thomas anymore. If you've been doubting the Lord, it's time that you need to repent. We still got a week or two before the 23rd comes around. And before this mess comes, my brother and sister, commit to the Lord. The Lord said it's over. Father said it's over. We have to see. We have to see. Beginning at the Shia, I talked about, Father began to talk to me about seeing. And I began to talk this year, my brother and sister, about seeing. There are things we are going to see this year. And I've been waiting. Things I heard him say that we were going to see. My brother and sister, we are about to begin to see things that many people thought we were not going to see in this country. It's all been planned by the elite. The Babylonian system, the Antichrist system, one depopulation. They don't want to go into the Great Tribulation with the millions of people they have today. No, my brother and sister, it's been the mercy of God that we're here. Been the mercy of God that we are alive. I believe it was in 2020 that God began to speak to me about things that we were going to see. See. Because he knows that people have been doubting and doubting and doubting, like doubting Thomas. Thomas, the Lord we're seeing. He didn't believe him. It's a lot of people this way. Doubting and doubting and think that doubting is okay. It's part of life. It's part of being a Christian. No. We repent now in unbelief. We repent pride. We repent these things that we know are not pleasing to the Lord, are not pleasing to God, is not helping us in any way, shape, or form. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Here, Sister Celestial, whom the Lord been revealing to her these things that are coming that are so close. Hallelujah. My brother and sister that we expect to see very soon. I will be back on Tuesday, God willing, with our Bible study. I will continue all the way to the 23rd of this month to alert people in case someone missed the program tonight and they have not heard. Please warn your family. Look up information. I call my family in New Jersey. I let them know. Even my brother who drives a truck every day did not know. And I said, have you heard the news? Go ahead. Go on YouTube and put it on. What's coming with no diesel on the 23rd. Listen to all the news and all the information. Listen to experts. Listen to people from the government talking about it. People are getting ready, those that don't want to go through it and lose a lot. Bible insisted. And so it's coming. It's close. We need to be ready before it's too late. Join us on Tuesday night. God willing, Sister Barry will be back on Wednesday. If not, she'll be the following week. Brother Barry will be back on Friday. My brother and sister, I will be back on Sunday. I'll be back Tuesday. I'll be back if we still have power until the 23rd, I will do emergency program is what I will do. It will be emergency preparedness. Emergency preparedness until the power outages begin to happen. If you see on the news people from other states like California or other states, power outages for North Carolina, you see that we will have no power. I will not be on the air. If we get power like an hour or two, I will go and update the pages. I will write in front of the pages what's going on here in North Carolina with the power outages. My brother and sister, I will try to keep people informed as much as we can. I will post information on Facebook. just to keep people up to date. And the LordTower.org, I will also, in front of the page, if possible, if I'm able to go online, if we have internet, I will go also and put up information. My brother and sister, the same, to keep people up to date as much as we can with these power outages come up. But Duke Energy in North Carolina is planning to cut back power outages in our main city after the 23rd. Because they will not have enough power. So think about it. Amen.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. I would recommend, if you are a new subscriber, that you can use the playlists that are on this channel on Brighteon, BitChute, and YouTube. And some of the more recent playlists that have been featuring on the channel for at least the last month would be the playlist on Vice President Kamala Harris. You might want to look at that. The Lord has been bringing forth a lot of sobering words concerning the presence of that lady in the political landscape of the United States and what we can expect to see from her in the near future. You should also look at the Russia and China playlist. The Russia and China playlist is the most important playlist on the Master's Voice because that details the end judgments of the United States and what it will be like when God gives the country over for judgment for sin to be defeated and captured by the twin horns, as he called it, of Russia and China. Today, the prophecy that I'm looking at, it sort of fits into, in fact, no, it totally fits into the coming beast system. So I said that I would be collecting all the prophecies that give a future look at details of what the beast system would look like. And this is, I think, the only prophecy that is like this that I have. It is called A Food Crisis is Coming. And I got this prophecy, I would say, exactly almost a year ago, September the 22nd, 2021. And let me go right into it. The banner scripture is this. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. So it's saying that at a particular time, a famine came, and it was foretold by a prophet among them that there would come a great hungering famine all over the world. And then it says that the famine took place in the days when I think Claudius was emperor. And so it says that when this famine came to pass, the disciples made a value decision that each one will contribute more if he could afford more, less if he could afford less. And they would make a care package or a relief package and send it to those of a similar faith with them who were living in Judea. And they used Barnabas and Saul to carry that care to them. The second scripture is this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Matthew 6, verses 25 to 27. And this is Jesus speaking to who he knows and understands are highly influenced and men and women who easily get anxious about life. There's none of us who can deny that life brings with it anxiety. But what Jesus is saying in this passage here, as he's addressing, telling us not to worry about what we will eat and what we will drink or worry about what we put on our body. Jesus is addressing what causes a lot of existential angst in people. We worry about the basics more than anything else. We worry about the day-to-day more than anything else. How are these bills going to get paid? How are these children going to be educated when they're pricing school fees right out of the reach of most modern parents today? How will we keep body and soul together if the money keeps devaluing every 5 seconds, and yet they keep telling us that we're not in a recession? How are we going to handle a global crisis? And now on top of that, we are looking at two things Jesus told us not to worry about, what we will eat or what we will drink. So I had this dream, and this dream highlighted a lot of things to me. And one of the things that this dream highlighted to me very clearly, I have many dreams in which I am running. A lot of dreams in which I am forced to relocate. I am forced to hide. I am forced to do the most to conceal my identity because of what type of country I live in, and partly, and I cannot pretend that I don't understand it, because of what type of task I do for the Lord. If the Lord was sending me here with, you're going to be rich and you're going to be famous prophecies, then obviously I wouldn't have to go into the kind of life that I often see happens further into the New World Order. But God was showing me how dangerous and murderous modern America is, even without the beast system being established. This is a world all on its own, this one continent of murder, spying, threats, and serious intimidation behind the scenes. God was showing me in this prophecy that many ordinary people in this country are caught in a cat and a mouse game for their very lives. Their families are endangered when they speak up. They lose their lives if they become whistleblowers. Sometimes they're forced to go on the run and take up a foreign citizenship in order to stay alive, just because they exposed the wickedness of, we'll just call it the enterprise, because the U.S. government is definitely not the normal political animal that most countries are used to. It definitely is an enterprise working to firmly establish itself until it opens one day like a rotten coconut and show us the Iron Kingdom beneath. So this dream showed me that there are very powerful interests out there in this country, and those interests think nothing of extinguishing human life like a little cheap candle if anyone tries to expose or reveal their end times plans before they're ready. This prophecy is about food insecurity, famine, the shortening of food, the disappearance of basic food, and how more and more people are going to end up having to go on welfare. I have spoken of this many times, that God shows me in the dream the typification of homelessness and poverty as you see it in the American movies. So you're watching a movie and you can always tell the homeless character because he's going to be wearing so many clothes and bundled up so much if it's winter, and there's always these gloves that they wear that have no fingertips. So it's the cut off fingertip gloves that you know, ah, this person is homeless. I saw that there came the rise of homelessness in every state, and I have seen that represented in so many dreams, that people will not be able to hold body and soul together. They're going to lose their ability to sustain a home, a family, a mortgage, and even a living wage. And when those times come, the government, being the brokest of them all, will not be able to keep up the pretense. And I saw that many families fell through the cracks. And so also God was reminding me when I woke up and I was transcribing this prophecy, he was reminding me how it will start. And we are already in it. But this is from September 2021. So let me read. Certain foods will start being less and less affordable. That means inflation, high prices will start to erode, rub away, erase the ability of many people to be able to afford the type of food that they are used to. Either they will still be able to get it, but they will have to get it in a much less quantity, or they will not be able to access it at all. They will have to cut it off their home menu as a luxury. And then he says these foods will become luxuries, and then one day they are no longer going to be available. And this is meat, fresh vegetables, butter, oil, sugar, and bread. a change in America, some prophecy like that, where I saw that many items became black market items. So America is going to develop a black market economy. This will not just be for maybe outlawed things, banned item, illegal items, and then you always have to know a guy who knows a guy. Food is going to go along with the banned and illegal items in that it will take a black market economy to get you a little butter or to get you a little fresh cream or to get you a little milk or to get you a piece of meat that you can put in the food, at least so your family can have the taste of meat. It sounds fantastical because this is a nation of plenty. Yes, there is food insecurity in America. Some people can't pay the bills. Some people can't afford a decent meal. We have a lot of homeless shelters. We have a lot of food pantries. Nevertheless, this nation is not starving like many nations are acquainted with widespread systemic hunger and famine. And yet God says that that is coming. So I saw that America began to experience the type of creeping scarcity that eventually forced a black market. Because there will always be people with money, and they need goods and services, and they're going to get that. And there's also going to be people who may not have money, but they're connected to people who are higher up who can say, hey, we got you guys a packet of meat. We got you 2 cartons of milk. We got you a little butter for the kids and things like that. So it will definitely become a who-do-you-know type of life. And I saw that people were having private access for extremely high sums of money to basic items because the government's ability to provide had absolutely tanked. There will come a time where the lies of these people, whoever is sitting in the seat at that time in their little game of musical chairs, they will not be able to hide their lies anymore. They will not be able to make any kinds of announcements that anyone will believe. You will have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to believe what you will see them saying when they stand at that little blue background to bring yet another story. No one will be buying it because there will come a time when the realities of the things that I'm speaking here now will be crushing people so bad that no one will risk being fooled by them. But for now, there are two camps, those who swallow everything and those who know that it's all poison. And so when these items began coming out of circulation, the first response, God was showing me how it will be. People will just start being irritable, and all they will do is complain because they will think it's supply chain backlog. And you still see that now. You go on Facebook, and you will see these expert mamas telling you, oh, no, we can't get this. It's the supply chain. Why? Because they have drunk the Kool-Aid. TV told them that there is a supply chain backlog. But men who are farmers and women who are preppers know that this is no supply chain backlog. The supply chain backlog has, prophetically, as the Lord said, morphed into yawning shortages as they burn down the chicken houses and burn down the corn processing places and kill all the cows mysteriously and then said that the cows who have been in the heat all their lives were suddenly too hot and decided to expire. So some people will be giving the usual thoughts, but God says that they don't even realize that watching their food supply dry up is like people who don't realize that when you see the sea draining back just before a tsunami, it's time to run. He said they'll just be complaining and saying, well, why don't they sell this anymore? And that's curious. Why have they stopped making that? And he said they will utterly lack the recognition of what national famine and what national starvation looks like when it starts happening. And he says only when it begins to take the supermarkets longer and longer to restock the shelves and their new habit, spacing the products apart like little soldiers so that we can't see that the shelves are empty. Remember, this is 2021. It's a year ago that this was said. So all of this, it may look like it's happening now, but the Lord was saying it back then. So he says only when it begins to take longer and longer for retail goods to get to us, and only when it takes longer and longer for the supermarkets to replace what we buy, and then when they do replace, it's way less coming back to the shelf. He said that's when it will begin to trickle down into people, that they are actually watching the economy decline in real time, and this is what it looks like. This is what a nation that is no longer able to feed itself in the coming future looks like. these supermarket prices and supply chain problems now. And then he says that when people finally get it, the reaction to that will be panic. And this is when the preppers will be sitting back, cracking a cold one and saying, Marge, we did good. So this dream that the Lord gave me, it was about GMO food. It was about the use of